Brad Binowitz, Jim Lee with you from Morton High School, where we apologize for not bringing you about the final minute 20 of Coach Tim Doherty's interview there, but they are kicking things off a little bit here early for the Morton Potters against the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Morton returns Drake Sykes' opening kickoff to the 32-yard line. So Morton starts there in what continues to be a steady rainfall. The remnants of Hurricane Isaac have reached Morton. Last we understood, it had not quite reached Galesburg yet, although you may, folks may be starting to see some of it now, certainly with lighter rain. It's been raining steadily here for probably going on 45 minutes now, don't you think, Jim Lee?
And it seems to be picking up a little bit in intensity as we get farther along here, too. So it'll be a slick turf all night long. Might slow down the passing game of Morton's David Rossi. That might be a good thing.
And they're going to go to the handoff on the very first man through, the tailback, Drew Taphorn. You'll hear the name Taphorn a lot tonight. Drew Taphorn, the starting tailback, a 6-foot, 185-pound senior. And then you've got Chase Taphorn, who's a starting tight end at 6-foot, 185 pounds, also a senior. But the quarterback is the star of the show here. David Rossi is his name, a 3-year starter for the Morton Potters. He's led Morton to the playoffs each of the last two seasons. After a gain of 3, 2nd and 7 from the Morton 35-yard line. Man in motion is Riley Donald to the near side. They keep the ball on the ground to Taphorn again. The Streaks read it well, defend well. He advances 36-yard line for a gain of 1, and it'll be 3rd and 6 upcoming.
O'Brien Allen over there from the linebacker spot on the tackle for the Silver Streaks, and as we saw last week, at least on these first two plays, we're getting a lot of guys to the ball, a lot of helmets in the neighborhood, and our tackling has been so far through last week and the first few plays here tonight has been much improved over previous seasons. Let's hope that continues. As slick as it is, though, you've really got to wrap up tonight. You could slide off of a guy pretty easily.
Sophomores lost tonight, 33-6. They are 0-2 on the season. Now back into the shotgun, Rossi. Clean snap, good protection in the backfield. Now running out to the near side, completes it into the hands of Riley Donald to the near side. Knocked out of bounds just short of the 50-yard line, and the Morton Potters convert on that long third down, a 3rd and 6, on the first pass play of the game from Rossi.
Well, you can even, just on the first play, you can look at Rossi and see that he really understands the options. His first thing, he looks deep. He had Taphorn trying to go up on a post. Don't want to throw that ball deep very often tonight, as slick as it is. So he's got his secondary man right over there on the sidelines. Actually reminded me of Alex Tanney of Monmouth College, the way he ran that and threw that ball perfectly on the sideline route.
Just short of midfield, handoff goes to the left side, and a big hit just across midfield, just across the Galesburg 45-yard line after the handoff. And still an advancement down to the Galesburg 43 before it was Matt Kitch, who came up out of the safety spot and put on the big hit to stop it at a gain of 6.
Well, when we were here 2 years ago, they had a big fullback that was the biggest problem as he rumbled and down the field in the final drive, and Morton able to escape with a victory 2 years ago. We're hoping that their balance doesn't beat us tonight with the run and the pass.
To the near side, Morton rushes it again down to the Galesburg 35-yard lines to Taphorn again, and another big play and another first down for the Morton Potters already down to the Galesburg 35-yard line.
You know, last week we played a DeKalb team that had a few real big kids, and we were giving away some size on the line of scrimmage. There's no individual quite as big as a couple they had, but just some pretty solid frontline beef up there for Morton and their pretty well-trained unit up front. They know their schemes, and they block well.
Out of the I formation, the Streaks jump off sides, right up the middle, trying to come across the center spot. And likely will go against the Silver Streaks unless the official saw that they were drawn off.
I think that's
and,
the case.
That's going to be the case. So it does go as an illegal motion against Morton, moving back 5 yards, and we saw a few of those last week, didn't we?
We did. In fact, I was talking with Kelly Kane, the assistant coach, and, of course, he spends a good deal of time with the offensive line. He said, yeah, we got out of sync there a little bit, but he said then we got the defense out of sync. They started jumping around, and 9 straight plays in that third quarter with some sort of a penalty along the line of scrimmage. I don't think we've ever seen that before and probably don't want to see it again.
1st and 15 now for the Morton Potters back at the Galesburg 40. Toss into the backfield, coming out of the tailback spot. And trying to get to the outside goes Brett Miller. He'll move it up to the 34-yard line, so they get the penalty back, plus one more. It'll be 2nd and 9.
Nice job by Matt Kitch. He was trailing the play and had to make the tackle from behind, but that's, you know, we stay with it. Don't just come through the line of scrimmage and then expect somebody else to make the play downfield. And And Matt did stick with it and used his speed, and as soon as the back tried to stop and cut, Mitch was there to take him down.
Gain of six brings up second and nine from the Galesburg 34. Just underway here at Morton. First series of the game goes to the outside. Taphorn trying to bounce to the outside. Spun down inside the 30, down to about the 28-yard line. Tried to get to the outside. The Streaks cut him off, so he had to find a little hole to cut through, and then the Streaks were able to pursue and topple onto him at the 28. Still picks up six, though.
Well, again, we had Kitch over there, but also plenty of help from Annie Valdez. Give both of them a half a tackle, I guess, for combining on that one. I read about somebody last week that had 26 tackles in one game. Whew, high school player. That's a night's work. I think 14 or 15 were solo.
Jack Compton with the carry. Picks up six. Handoff up the field to the fullback.
Good stop
by the Silver Streaks. A helmet comes off before the play is whistled dead. Compton stopped for a gain of a yard to the 27-yard line, and it'll bring up fourth down.
Looked like I think Matt Hawkins was the one that stood him up over there. And just wasn't going to let him get that extra push that he wanted. So now a big fourth down opportunity for the Galesburg defense. Fourth and two. Morton going to go for it here on the 28-yard line. They've got a good field goal kicker, but this is not a good night to try and kick a field goal of any distance with it being so wet.
No, certainly not. We've already seen the Silver Streaks kickers warming up. They're going to go with a quarterback sneak straight up the middle, and Rossi gets more than enough down inside the 25 to about the 23-yard line. Ends up picking up five on just a straight sneak right up the middle. Good surge by the Morton offensive line to move the chains on fourth down.
Yeah, Christian Wysick, the center up there, he's just 5'10", but goes 245, and that's your prototype center, a little smaller in height, but wide and strong. So he followed him right up the middle. Also got some help from one of their big tackles. Trying to get my roster straight here. Number 75, that was Damon Munoz. He's 6'4", 305.
The Potters call timeout with 6:54 to go in the first quarter. No score. Opening drive of the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Life is busy, and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, dance lessons, errands, and deadlines. Cratty Insurance Agency, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. Cratty Insurance will take the time to find affordable auto, home, and business insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call or stop by their office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Coming out of the Morton timeout, Drew Taphorn with a carry, trying to bounce to the outside, working his way to the right side of the Morton offensive line. He picks up a yard. After the Potters convert on fourth down for a new set of downs from the Galesburg 22, it'll be second and nine coming up for the Potters from the Silver Streaks 21. Time for the defensive line to tighten things up here with under six and a half to go in the first quarter.
Well, Andrew Barnes that time got the job done. The junior came over with a nice sure tackle, stuck the helmet between the legs down low, and kept it to a two-yard gain.
Split backfield behind senior quarterback Rossi. Back to pass after the play fake. Lofting it into the end zone. Man open. He dives for it, and the ball squibs out at the end as he couldn't come up with it. Whether it was because of the rain and a wet ball, looked like a pretty well-thrown ball. Mm-hmm. We were kind of shielded up here. We don't know. Could you tell, Jim?
Yeah,
it
looked to me like
a little bit.
No, I think it was a well-thrown ball, and that was to Taphorn, one of his main targets. But I think it was the wetness to blame there. Silver Streaks were in hot pursuit right on the back side of the play. I don't think we got anybody that had a hand on it. I think we just got a break there on a wet night.
Third down of the opening drive from Morton. They've converted one. They've also converted a fourth down. Now into the shotgun goes Rossi on third and eight. Two down territory from the Silver Streaks 21. Good snap. He's going to keep it. Trying to work his way up the middle. There's nothing there. Silver Streaks read it extremely well. The hole that was there right up the middle closed quickly. Good defense by the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, Barnes there again. O'Brien Allen, Matt Kitch. These linebackers doing a pretty good job here on this opening drive. Defense has given up some plays, but we've held our own, and now they are going to try and kick this thing, Brad, from a 28-38-yard field goal attempt.
Again, and not a driving rain, but a steady rain. Their kicker is Connor Kindred, and we've seen him, and he's a good one. Good snap. They do get it down, a booming kick, working its way left, but it does get up inside the uprights. 5:31 to go, first quarter. Morton leads 3-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, by Knox County Hearing Clinic on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, and by Chuck Ross, Mel Foster Company, making it happen. Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Another one.
Another what?
Every customer that's walked through those doors this morning has left smiling, even laughing. I am good.
Michelle, XYZ.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
5:31 to go in the first quarter from Morton High School. Galesburg trails for the first time this season on a 38-yard field goal from Connor Kindred. It's 3-0 Morton. Sophomores lost tonight. A booming kick down the middle of the field. Trevon Diggins watches it land on the back of the end zone and scoot out of bounds. Silver Streaks have it from their own 20.
Well, Trevon might have a chance to return a punt tonight. His odds of ever seeing a kickoff return possibility pretty slim with this kid who can kick it out of the end zone pretty much every time.
Peyton Isaacson back on the field, the sophomore, getting his second start at the varsity level. Had a nice conversation with Coach Tim Doherty yesterday outside of the interview that you heard earlier, talking about a couple of sophomores in the starting lineup, Isaacson and Ben Holloway. And in Tim's 23rd season, he said it's only the second time that he's had a sophomore start at quarterback on the varsity level. Handoff goes to the left side, and that tells you something. When a Hall of Fame coach says, "This is only the second time I've done it," Peyton Isaacson must be the real deal in his eyes. Handoff goes to Jonathan Mixon, coming off a 293-yard rushing effort last week. Picks up just over 5 on first down here.
Yeah, they got a dose of Mixon strength right there. He got hit at about the 22 and went forward on the pile across the 25. Got up a little gimpy on one ankle, so doesn't look like that's going to be anything that will affect him much tonight, as he's the only back in this formation.
With the two wingbacks, Diggins and Holloway. Handoff goes to Mixon, straight up the middle, works his way to the right side, gets the first down just across the 30 to the 31. Two carries for Jonathan Mixon, and already a first down for the Silver Streaks.
Jake Castleman, two-way starter for Morton, on the tackle there, able to grab Mixon from the ankles from the back, bring him down. Castleman goes 5'9", 195. Weight-wise, that's about an even match. Mixon goes 195, but I'll tell you what, there is not much that isn't lean on that 195 on Jonathan Mixon. He is a strong young man.
Offset eye formation, lining up behind Isaacson. Now he hands off to Ben Holloway, who slips in the backfield and looks like he got very close back to the line of scrimmage as he tried to cut from left to right, and his plant foot went right out in front of him. And they'll keep it right at the first down marker for no gains.
Well, the field will become tougher and tougher, I'm sure, as the game goes along, although it should hold up for a while because, as we noticed during the sophomore game, we went out there and looked around, and it's pretty good shape considering how dry it's been. So hopefully it'll hold up at least most of the night.
3-0 Morton, just under 4 minutes to go in the first quarter. Here's Isaacson on a keeper rolling out to the right. Gets outside right tackle, gains a couple on second down. It'll bring up 3rd and 8 for the Silver Streaks from their own 33-yard line.
Well, on two consecutive plays now, we've had runners try and cut, and it's just you're not going to be able to do that very well tonight. This is really going to favor the straightforward power game, and both teams can play that game.
First opportunity on third down for the Silver Streaks. They struggled on third down last week, did have a fourth down conversion that kept a drive alive earlier in the game. On 3rd and 8 here, Isaacson with a toss. Mixon trying to get to the outside, gets hit. There's a flag down in the backfield. Mixon seems to be down right at the first down marker at the 41 on the far side of the field. He was stopped initially 3 to 4 yards short of that. But then the second effort got him very close to the first down marker, but there's a flag down in the backfield, which probably is against the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, Zane Crow back there, guilty of holding, I would guess, as, yes, we're going to mark this one off and negate the first down. Good run, good blocking scheme on that right side for Mixon, but it's all coming back.
And from the spot of the foul, which is back at the 32-yard line, is going to take it all the way back to the 22 now.
Yeah, really a tough break. Inopportune time for a penalty there. Wanted to keep hold of the ball, and now it's going to be awfully tough with this third and very long. The ball back in our own territory at the 21.
Down to third and 19 now. Handoff, a double handoff from left now to right as they get it back to Mixon, and there's just nothing there. Trying to get to the right side, Morton defended extremely well. He gets to the 25-yard line, and Streaks left to punt it away.
It was actually Trevon that ended up with it that time. They tried to get the speedster a little open room up the middle and couldn't find much to work with.
No wind tonight.
No. Not a wisp of a breeze. You wouldn't know this was coming off of a hurricane. Straight down rain, which is actually good because if it started blowing in, we'd have to close the windows on the press box, and that would get steamy in a hurry.
Plus, we wouldn't be able to see out the window.
Yeah.
Here's the kick away and a flag down. As Sykes gets it away, taken at the 42 and down to a knee go the Potters, but the flag is down on the backfield. And it's going against the Silver Streaks. It's 2:12 to go in the first quarter. Morton scores a field goal on its first possession. Silver Streaks come up empty. Let's see what they do here. They're going to make the Streaks re-kick. They're just going to walk it off. You got Tim Doherty demanding an explanation from the officials while the referee talks it over with Morton on the far side of the field.
Looks like we're going to re-kick.
We're going to re-kick.
Well, that's just two penalties here, but, you know, we said coming in, if you're going to beat a good football team, you can't have inopportune penalties or turnovers. Well, we haven't had the turnover, but this penalty is going to make us kick it from deeper in our own territory, and the only reason we're back this far is because we had a holding penalty away from a play that garnered us the first down. It's been a real killer, and well, you think, well, how much can one penalty cost you? Well, it's going to cost us a ton of field position here. Now we're going to kick the ball with our heels on the goal line.
He just took another 13 yards off that, which means it would have been a 15-yarder, except they couldn't go that far, half the distance to the goal line. And then it's dropped just across midfield, and Morton scrambles to cover up on it as it came down into the hands of Brett Wable. And again, I think we're seeing the effects of the wet ball.
Uh-huh.
Came right into the numbers, and then it just went right through his arms onto the field, and he dove on top of it, and even then it kind of squibbed out from underneath him a little bit before he covered up.
Nice kick. That covered 53 yards in the air, not from the line of scrimmage, but he had his heels on the goal line, kicked it. It was fielded at the 47, advance it, call it 1 yard, basically a fumble forward. And so nice job to root us out of there a little bit by the Galesburg special teams.
Morton takes over at its own 48-yard line, so just short of midfield. Terrific field position leading the Silver Streaks. 3-0, just over 2 minutes to go here on a rainy night in the first quarter. Out of the I formation, David Rossi, 6'2", 205-pound senior. Man in motion is Drew Taphorn. Lining up to the left, that's the direction they're going to run. It goes into the hands of Jack Compton, and he is stuffed. Maybe at the line of scrimmage. Looks like he even lost a little bit.
Well, let's see who all got off the pile. Matt Kitch was there again. Jacob Ryden came rolling over there and finished the play off. He really got a good head of steam and knocked that play sideways.
Call it no gain. They did move the down marker back a couple of feet, maybe. Toss now into the backfield, this time to Brett Miller, trying to get to the outside. He's tackled at the 50. There's a flag down from the back. There's a flag down from midfield. There's a flag down from the side. They got yellow all over the place, and the Silver Streaks are already clapping.
Either that was an incredibly obvious holding call, or there were two guys holding on that play. I think it was just one incredibly obvious hold.
There's the hold, and that's the only signal from the referee, so they'll march it back 10 from the spot of the foul. Even though the Streaks stopped it defensively, they'll take the 10-yard penalty, and it'll bring up second and a long 20 now. From back inside the Morton 40-yard line, their second penalty of the night. The first one did not stop their drive on their opening possession, which resulted in a field goal. Second and 20 now for the Potters with a minute 23 to go still here in the first quarter. Morton leading 3-0. Back to pass, Rossi, then hands off on a draw play, and the Streaks stuff it again.
Ryden is there.
Back at the 36-yard line. Nowhere to go for Drew Taphorn.
Yeah, Ryden really dominated his man that time, just shut him off to the side and stuck his helmet right in there. And again, a night where you could see a few more of these big plays from the defensive linemen because the backs aren't going to have that confidence to try and shift and cut when they see an opportunity. They're going to probably be a little more cautious and just try and go straight forward, and that played right into Ryden's hands there as he, great solo tackle.
Loss of two on the play. Now third and 22 out of the shotgun. Rossi back to pass, flushed out of the pocket, steps up, throws it to the near side of the field. It's caught by Compton in Galesburg territory, gets free of an ankle tackle, another burst forward, and he just gets across the first down marker at the Galesburg 40. A terrific second and third effort by Compton that allowed Morton to move the chains on that third and deep.
Yep, had a chance to stop him a couple yards shy of the sticks, and he just wouldn't let it happen. And too bad for the Galesburg defense. They played a nice series, but that's the thing. When you can bring a little bit of a passing game in high school to go along with the run, you become so much more dangerous.
Gain of 24 to the Galesburg 40-yard line. Now a toss into the backfield. Miller trying to get to the outside up to the 35-yard line. Just across the 35-yard line. Call it five. A gain of five on first down. Rossi now 2-for-3 passing on a rainy night for 37 yards, and he's been effective. And that's the end of the first quarter. Silver Streaks trail Morton 3-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan?
Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Bree loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Bree Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Bree Loves Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Picture this. Your car's been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tomorrow afternoon as the Redbirds take on the Washington Nationals. Coverage begins at 2:30 on WGIL.
Tune in for Cardinal Baseball on WGIL.
Back at Morton High School, ready to start the second quarter. Potters leading the Silver Streaks 3-0 in a low-scoring game so far, but the Potters on the move at the Galesburg 35. Handoff to the right side, and another stuff by the Galesburg defense as the handoff goes to Ryan Wiegand, and he's knocked down for a loss of a yard as the Silver Streaks doing a terrific job defending the line of scrimmage.
They really are. Between the tackles, Galesburg is dominating up front on that defensive line. Really impressed. Linebackers are filling well. It's just right now the only difference in this game is what we feared, Rossi's ability to throw the ball a little bit in critical situations. Otherwise, we're going toe-to-toe with these guys.
Morton 2-for-4 on third downs in this game already. This is a 3rd and 7 from the Galesburg 37. Upcoming in the shotgun, Rossi rolling to the right. Under some pressure, steps up, found a hole. Now lofts it downfield through the hands of the intended receiver, Riley Donald. And it falls incomplete. The pass was right there. His hands were up, and we've got a flag down. I'm not so sure Rossi didn't cross the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, late flag came from clear over on this side. And so, yeah, Coach Tim Doherty got his hand behind his head, the indication for beyond the line of scrimmage. That's what he's hoping for. The pass was incomplete anyway, but it was well thrown. It was just dropped on a slick night, and now they're talking with the Silver Streaks defensive captain, O'Brien Allen.
And given where he was, it looked like he had a little more room to run. I thought he could have just held on to the ball and probably gotten the first down.
Yeah, really surprised he let that one go, especially on a night like this. He let that go, so... maybe his first mistake of the night. Let's hope we can. We're going to bring up fourth down, or do we take it?
Well, it's loss of
back.
Down, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. It is if you're across. That's right. So it switched to fourth down and the penalty yardage.
So move it back 5 yards. No, they haven't moved it back. It's just loss of down. Still sitting at the 37-yard line. Shouldn't it come back? There we go.
Otherwise, it's the same as an incomplete pass.
Well, they still only moved it 2 yards.
Huh. Well, I guess they're going to go for it. Fourth down on their own. They're on the Galesburg 39. Now we've got a timeout, and they may rethink this.
Yep. Timeout by Morton.
Yep.
So we'll take a timeout as well. Just underway in the second quarter. We played 45 seconds. It's 3-0 Potters. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's football Saturday. Don't miss the Fighting Illini home opener with new head football coach Tim Beckman at the helm as Illinois hosts the Broncos of Western Michigan Saturday, September 1st at 11 a.m. And tickets for this game are only $25. To top it off, Street Fest is back and located on 1st Street just west of the stadium. Make sure to get there early for free family fun with live entertainment, inflatables, and more. It's Illinois versus Western Michigan Saturday, September 1st. Get your tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Rush Limbaugh Show, weekday afternoons 12 to 3 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fourth down for the Morton Potters from the Galesburg 39-yard line. 11:15 to go in the first half. Potters leading 3-0 and lining up to go for it here on fourth down. Man in motion to the outside is Drew Taphorn. Back to pass, rolling right, Rossi. Into the flat, underthrown, and it falls incomplete, and the Silver Streaks take over on downs.
Really, normally on a dry night, I see going for that. This particular night, I thought that was maybe not the best move by Morton. I hope it backfires on him because if you pooch that ball down a little bit, you could pin Galesburg in 10, 15-yard territory. That's a long way to go down the field on a wet night. And even their play call there I thought was a little suspect. If you're going to throw it down the field, do it with a little more authority than that. That was pretty weak. And so the Streaks hope to take advantage of Morton's decision on that one and maybe move this thing down and take the lead.
Well, even with the pass thrown into the flat, if it's complete, he doesn't get the first down anyway.
No,
so, because yeah, I agree with
you're allowing the defense to come up. It was a very soft pass and underthrown on top of it. So let's get after it, Streaks.
From the Silver Streaks 39-yard line, Galesburg takes over. 11:09 to go, second quarter. Handoff goes to the left side. Streaks trying to get to the outside. Not a whole lot there as Galesburg crosses the 40 up to the 42-yard line. Jonathan Mixon's third carry of the night. Our Lieber Boxcar Express touchdown contest is back this year. Good luck to Dawn Brown of Knoxville. If the Silver Streaks score a touchdown in this second quarter, Dawn wins a $10 gift certificate to Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And everyone who wins during the quarter when the Streaks scoring a touchdown gets entered into the contest at the end of the year to be drawn for a party sub. And thanks again to Lieber's Boxcar Express for sponsoring the touchdown contest again this year. Nice run by Jonathan Mixon. Just across left tackle, kept the legs moving, and I don't know how he did on such a wet night, but he kept moving forward right to midfield at the 50 for a first down.
Yeah, and again, the Potters knowing that there won't be a whole lot of solo tackles on Mixon tonight. Ryan Wiegand, one of those who had a hand on Mixon as he went by, but he was flat out on the turf by the time Mixon rolled over and got another 5 yards onto that carry. So, I didn't know whether their coach was telling us just to puff us up a little bit that Mixon will be one of the best backs he's seen all year, but he's showing that maybe he is.
And off up the middle, Mixon sidesteps a man in the backfield, breaks into Morton territory, and gets another first down inside the 40 down to the 38-yard line. Just a little sidestep with a man right at the line of scrimmage, and that allowed him to get enough steam going to get that 11-yard gain for a first down.
Well, Mixon's still hobbling a little bit as he gets off that. I don't know that that goes back to the first carry he had tonight. He got up just a little gimpy from that, but when he gets the ball and heads across the line of scrimmage, he doesn't look gimpy at all. It's just after the play ends.
From the Morton 39-yard line, new set of downs for the Silver Streaks. Handoff to Diggins, trying to bounce to the outside, breaks free, off the cornerback, inside the 25, up the sideline, finally taken down at the 10-yard line by Jake Castleman, who ran him down.
Terrific job. Castleman stuck with the player. Diggins is gone, and Trevon fought off a couple of would-be tacklers, and you know with his speed, if he can just get those wheels turned once or twice, especially on the sideline, he's going to be hard to catch.
Takes it down to the 10-yard line for a gain of 29. Trevon's biggest run of the season, his second of the night for 32 yards. And now the Silver Streaks in the red zone with 9:23 and counting to go here in the first half. And first and goal for the Silver Streaks at the 10-yard line, just inside the 10-yard line, trailing 3-0. Isaacson brings the team set. Handoff goes to the left. Mixon barrels across a man down to the 5, just inside the 5 to the 4-yard line. They're going to mark him right at the 5 where the knee came down.
Well, Isaacson did a pretty nice job of disguising that as well. First man through. He made you wonder if you were the defense whether Mixon actually had it or not. He thought for a second that Isaacson had it as he was rolling out to his left. On a night like this, you don't expect to see much trickery, though. You don't expect to see a whole lot of pitching the ball. That's an invitation to disaster. When it's working for you on the belly, you just keep doing it.
Sixth play of the drive. It started back at the Galesburg 39. Isaacson steps right, hole up the middle for Mixon. He dives. He gets the touchdown.
A statement drive for the Silver Streaks. Able to move it all the way from their own territory at about the 40-yard line. And take it all the way down in with some decisive runs, gathering, I think, 3 carries of 10 yards or more, capped off by the Mixon touchdown, and the Silver Streaks showing they can play with the big boys here in Morton and take a second quarter lead.
Tanner Laird in for the extra point. Galesburg doubling up the Potters now at 6-3. All the scoring so far down on the right.
Missed it, didn't he?
And it went left. That had plenty of distance.
That could be big.
So right now, the Silver Streaks lead by a field goal. 6-3, 8:36 to go first half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Sam's Club members save every day, but August 29th through September 3rd, you can save even more with over $900 in instant savings on select items. At Sam's Club, discover the season's best for less. Must-have school gear to fresh and easy meal ideas, brand name home essentials, and more. Instant savings are loaded right on your card. No coupons required. Not a member? Join today and enjoy over $900 in instant savings. Life is better in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save. See club for more details.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Sixth place scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. 61 yards with 8:36 to go in the first half. The extra point no good, but Galesburg leads 6-3. And Dawn Brown of Knoxville celebrates that touchdown. She wins a $10 gift certificate from Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
She can get 10 of those big cookies.
Ooh. Kickoff downfield. Morton running it to the far side of the field, taking it on the fly. Now cutting back to the middle of the field comes Brent Wavell, and he's taken down just across the 20-yard line, and a late flag comes in. That may be against the Silver Streaks.
Boy, the Silver Streaks fans charged up here. Not a huge contingent, all with umbrellas.
They're going to wave it off. Couldn't see anything from up here. I was a little concerned about that one, but glad to see they're waving that off because I sure didn't see anything.
Yeah.
What do I know, right?
That makes the vocal Silver Streaks fans a lot happier that they picked that one up too. So, you know, and again, you know, when Morton didn't punt that ball, we were thinking, you know, I'm not sure that's the best decision, and it really cost him. The Silver Streaks made him pay.
Morton taking its time, coming in from the sideline. Silver Streaks lead 6-3, a 5-yard touchdown run from Jonathan Mixon on a rainy night. Conditions have not changed. The flags continue to hang limp, and the rain continues to come down. Again, not hard, but just steady, affecting the playing conditions. Handoff goes to Taphorn, and
Allen.
He's tackled into the backfield behind the 20-yard line for a loss of a couple.
Well, Brian Allen playing inspired football, among others right now, as the Galesburg defense really pumped up by the fact that the offense went out there and gave him the lead. Loss of 2.
With his 6th carry of the night for only 13 yards. So the Streaks have effectively shut him down so far, and Galesburg continues to dominate the line of scrimmage as we have seen so far. The defensive line, Manny Valdez and Jonathan Mixon, the defensive ends, the tackles, Matt Hawkins and Zane Crowell. Jacob Ryden up the middle at the nose guard spot. Now under pressure, Rossi gets away from a sack in the backfield, and it's complete on the pass up the far side to Chase Taphorn. Very close to a first down. Looks like it'll be a couple of yards short at about the 30.
Matt Hawkins got through there quickly, had a shot at Rossi, but he slid off, and it allowed the talented Morton quarterback to buy a little more time, find a man, and move the chains.
We're actually going to spot it close to the 32-yard line, which is right at the first down marker, and the referee wants to bring the chain gang out. I want to thank one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, for providing our transportation to Morton tonight. Jim and I traveling in a 2011 Nissan Altima, certified pre-owned, listed at just under $20,000. And the silver model, very comfortable in there, very spacious as well.
And in driving it tonight, this one, quite a bit more spunk than last week's.
Oh.
Last week's took us well to DeKalb and back, but this one gets on it pretty quickly once you tap that accelerator. So this one would probably be my choice, given either one. Wouldn't turn down either one we've had the first 2 weeks of Streaks football. And thanks again to Galesburg Nissan for those beautiful Ultimas we're able to bring to the ballgame.
13-yard completion is enough for the first down. First reception of the night by Chase Taphorn. Rossi 3-for-5 passing. 450 yards. Toss into the backfield. Goes to his brother Taphorn, who found an opening. Past the linebackers into the secondary. Finally taken down from behind. Tripped up just short of the 45-yard line for a pickup of 13 more. This time it was Drew Taphorn on the run.
And Andrew Barnes on the tackle, the junior for the Silver Streaks. And if he doesn't get that tackle made, that play might have gone for a lot more. Taphorn was able to bust through a couple of arm tackles, and finally Barnes brought him down shy of midfield.
So just short of the 45-yard line. Drew Taphorn just doubled his rushing total. He had 13. He gained another 13. A flag down as Rossi's back to pass and steps up in the pocket. Now the officials blow the play dead. That's how players get hurt, when you let it run like that and then stop it in the middle.
Well, obviously a penalty against the offensive team. They're not going to stop the play if it's on the defense. So
right.
Mark off five against the Potters or the Hogs. They are the Razorbacks or whatever you want to call them here. You don't see this during basketball season, but during football, it's kind of the hog country thing here. Apparently they don't think the Potters is a very intimidating name, so they kind of go with this Razorback hog thing. Some of the T-shirts they have, like Arkansas, say Go Suey on there. And the Potters hoping to mud it up a little bit here tonight.
Ball sitting just short of their own 40-yard line. 6:40 to go in the first half. Silver Streaks leading 6-3. Morton trying to get back into Galesburg territory. Under pressure, Rossi with a swing pass to the outside. It is complete to Ryan Wiegand, who then slows down. And just as Jim said earlier, just not much ability to cut on the field. And once he slows down trying to cut back, that allowed the defense to catch up to him. Take him down at the 43-yard line for a gain of 3.
Yeah, Streaks defense saw what was happening there and did a nice job containing it. They didn't try and come and up too quickly and get too aggressive and slide by the guy. They let him catch the ball. He gained a couple of yards. They put him down right there, and that was a well-defended play.
53 yards passing now on a rainy night for David Rossi. Second and 12. Rossi ducks into the backfield, now tosses it into the secondary, complete at the 50-yard line, and it takes four Silver Streaks defenders to finally bring down the receiver, Wiegand again, and he's just short of the first down marker at the Galesburg 48-yard line.
Wiegand's a strong kid. Trevon Diggins came up and then hit him high, and Trevon's given away quite a bit on that one in size and strength through the shoulders. But one thing to Trevon's credit, not only did he wrestle him down, but the whole time he was trying to poke the ball out of there. He was trying to force a turnover. On a night like this, that's a really good idea, because you never know what you might be able to get to slip out of there.
From the Galesburg 48-yard line, 3rd and 3 for the Morton Potters. Rossi ducks underneath, sneaks forward, and he's got more than enough for the first down. He needed 3. It looks like he got another 5, which is exactly what they were able to do earlier on a 4th and 2. He picked up 5, and he picks up 5 again here when they needed 3.
Barnes again with a sure tackle from behind, but had to get his ankles after Rossi had already just gone off that right side. And the interior part of the line able to move the pile when they need to for Rossi. Most of the time you don't see a quarterback sneak on anything less than maybe 3rd and 1 or possibly 2, but he snuck it on 3- and 4-yard carries.
Silver Streaks had to get a player off the field. The officials stopped playing. Now they blow the whistles again. Another equipment issue. 5:01 to go here in the first half. Silver Streaks lead 6-3. They responded well after falling behind for the first time this season when Morton scored a field goal on the Potters' opening drive. Silver Streaks did not score on their first possession, but held Morton defensively and then came back, put together a 61-yard scoring drive. And now with the Potters in Galesburg territory, just short of the 42-yard line, and a new set of downs for Morton.
You know, one of the things you have to do if the other team's got a quarterback that can throw is get some pressure on him. And for the most part, I think we've done a pretty good job of that. He had to run a scramble away from a little pressure that time to complete the pass. So let's hope the defensive front can keep it up.
Up the middle go the Potters again. The line is going to have a little surge to the 35-yard line.
Rossi again, just on a quarterback carry.
Running right behind center, Christian Wiesek, 5'10", 245-pound senior, and he's also got Damon Munoz at one of the guard spots at 6'4", 305, and the right tackle, Nick Monfardini, at 6'4", 240.
See if I can't curse the Potters. We haven't seen a fumble yet tonight or a turnover.
I like the way you think, Jim Lee.
Thinking maybe we're due here.
To the 35-yard line. Handoff goes to the right for the Potters again. They'll be close to another first down, just short of the 30.
I think we saw what the ball hit the ground once on that the punt return that Morton had, but they quickly fell on it. Otherwise, a night where you'd expect to see quite a few mishandles have been pretty clean on both sides of the ball.
Taphorn picks up four down to the Galesburg 31-yard line. No big plays, no big offensive plays. A couple of successful pass completions. And now on the ground, Morton moving it again, toss to the backside. Miller trying to get to the corner. The streaks flush him out all the way to the right side toward the sideline. And Miller stopped just short of the 30 for a very short gain, if any at all.
Michael Moss over there on the tackle. Good job of lateral pursuit by Moss. Not allowing Morton to turn the corner on that. Stopped him for, what, about a one-yard gain.
Brings up second and nine from the Silver Streaks' 30-yard line. 6-3 is the Galesburg lead. 3:15 to go on what's been a fairly quick-moving game so far, 3:15 here in the second quarter. Rossi with a play fake. Little lean pass across the middle and a nice stop by Trevon Diggins after the completion into the hands of Wiegan again for a pickup of about four more. It'll bring up third and five.
Same collision that we saw a couple of plays ago, only this time Trevon brought it a little bit harder. Wiegan had turned for the pass, and Trevon, after the last experience, knew he'd need to bring some pop to bring Wiegan down, and he did.
From the Galesburg 24-yard line, third and three upcoming. Handoff goes to the right side. Streaks defend it well. That'll be stopped short of the first down, but two down territory here. As Jake Castleman, the last player off the bottom of the file, a 5'9", 195-pound senior running back, and it'll bring up fourth and two.
I thought maybe he had picked up a little there, but he just pretty much got back to the line of scrimmage. Big play here, certainly, with 2:14 to go in the half. Love to see a stop for the Silver Streaks. Look for Rossi on the quarterback sneak.
They've run it twice already, very successfully. He keeps it again, trying to get down low, and the Streaks stop him short of the 20-yard line. Let's see if it's enough for the first down. One official standing right at the 21 of the near hash mark.
Galesburg sideline thinks he didn't make it.
Yep, the referee is eyeballing it right now. He's taking a look at it, and he doesn't even want to measure. Silver Streaks get it back on downs.
Outstanding. Outstanding. The defense gave up some yardage but never gave up any real big plays against this multi-talented Morton offense that can pass and run with a number of different players. You're going to give up some yards, but the defense up to the task there and preserves the lead with 2:03 to go in the first half. And it's like we got a bit of a delay, if not a timeout on the field. I don't know if it's a full-fledged timeout, Brad, but great to see us get the stop there. And right now I think just take care of the ball and don't turn it over and go in the locker room with the lead.
Morton took over just over 6.5 minutes on the clock, off the clock on that scoring drive, and comes up empty. Peyton Isaacson, handoff to the right side. Jonathan Nixon, hit, and hit again. Hangs on to the ball, bullies his way across the 25, close to the 28-yard line on a hard run by Jonathan Nixon for a gain of 7.
Remember how Chris Berman used to, in the highlights of Mike Allstott?
Rumbling, poof, bumbling, poof, stumbling. Poof.
That's kind of what we're getting from Mixon. Just bouncing off guys, and finally somebody brings him down.
Second and four from the 27. Just inside the 28-yard line. A minute 31 to go here in the first half. Silver Streaks leading 6-3. Isaacson handoff to the left side. There's a hole for Mixon. Breaks free into the secondary, and still on his feet across 35 to the 46-yard line. Finally, it was Taphorn out of the safety spot who brought him down. But a big run by Mixon up to the 47, a gain of 20.
Probably one man away from taking that to the house. The guy was Chase Taphorn. And give Mixon credit, Taphorn was doing everything he could to strip that ball out of there and try to tackle Mixon at the same time. Mixon reached down, made sure he had a good hold of the ball, and got the first down.
Silver Streaks now can think about some other options here with just over a minute to go. Isaacson handoff. There's another little hole across the middle, and then John tripped up just as he tried to back his way across the middle of the line of scrimmage. He gets into Morton territory at the 47, and the Streaks quickly call timeout with a minute to go before halftime, their first timeout.
That play was such a turnaround, the big gain by Mixon, because if we didn't get much yardage there on that second down play, it would have brought up third. I think you would have seen Morton take a timeout, see if they could maybe force us into a punt on one more down and out. But Mixon took care of that strategy real quickly with the big run, and now the Silver Streaks unlikely to score with 46 yards yet to go and a minute before halftime, but you've got that chance. We'll see what they come up with on the playbook.
Silver Streaks continue to wear down that Morton defensive line. We saw how quickly they can score last week. They had two scoring drives that went only three plays against DeKalb. That's all they need here with a minute to go and build that point lead. It's 6-3 right now. And the Silver Streaks in three plays, with Jonathan Mixon running, have now moved it into Potter territory just short of the 46-yard line. John had seven carries for 43 yards and a touchdown up until this drive. He's carried it three times already for 32 yards, so he's nearly doubled his rushing total. Will Anderson coming out of the timeout, splits out to the near side. Man in motion is Diggins. Handoff up the middle, why not? Mixon again diving forward just short of the 40-yard line, but he's got the first down, and the Silver Streaks move the chains at the 42. Gain of five.
Coming up at halftime, we'll talk Knox Prairie Fire Athletics. First of all, basketball. The new hiring of new coach Kevin Walden was announced earlier this week. We'll talk with Athletic Director Chad Isley about that. And then Chad, of course, wears two hats. He's the head football coach. We'll talk about tomorrow's opener with Eureka. That's at halftime.
40 seconds to go before halftime. Holloway in motion. Handoff goes left instead to Mixon, and just not much there this time. Morton was ready for him. They stop him right at the line of scrimmage and push him backwards. Watching Tim Doherty, he does not appear in any mood to call a timeout. Had that been a bigger play, then certainly he might have reconsidered. But on second down, they're going to give him a loss of a yard with under 20 seconds to go in the first half now, and Silver Streaks will be content to play it very conservative here with a three-point lead right before halftime.
Truly a rugby scrum on that play. Everybody in on the pile for both sides and a stalemate, and I don't think we're going to run another play before the half.
I don't think they're going to have to. And the Silver Streaks, with a defensive effort, lead at halftime on the road, 6-3, as Jim mentioned. Knox Athletic Director and head football coach Chad Isley coming up at halftime. First half statistics when we come back, and a word from the Streaks coaching staff before we kick off the second half, which the Silver Streaks will have the ball, leading 6-3 at Morton. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL is proud to be a part of our community.
Hi, this is Ashley Blake with WGIL with this reminder. United Way of Knox County offers a volleyball tournament on September 22nd at Lake Story. Shannon's tourney in memory of Shannon Jansen. Cash payouts, co-ed, six players a team, cost is $20. Call United Way or check our calendar at WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL. Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Halftime in a steady rain at Morton High School. It hasn't let up at all, but it hasn't gotten any heavier from what we can tell. But it's been going on for a while. And a defensive effort with a lot of ground game, a fairly effective passing game by Morton. But the Silver Streaks are holding in there with a terrific effort at the line of scrimmage and lead the Morton Potters at halftime 6-3. We'll take a break here for the OSF St. Mary Medical Center halftime show. As we mentioned, we've got an interview with Knox Athletic Director and Head Football Coach Chad Isley coming up. Take a look at first half statistics. Morton's putting up some numbers, but the Streaks lead in the statistic that matters the most right now, 6-3 at the half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Yen's Summer End Big Blowout Sale.
With savings like you've never seen before.
Only through the close of business today.
Everything at Yen is priced to sell.
Savings so low that Yen is ready to beat any deal, anytime, any day.
And they have over 300 vehicles to choose from.
There's blowout pricing on every pre-owned model on the lot, no matter what you're looking for.
Save at the pump and on the car when you pay under $13,000 for a 2010 Chevy Cobalt.
With under 14,000 miles.
Pay under $20,000 for a 2010 Chevy Equinox LT with under 37,000 miles.
10,000 miles. Pay under $25,600 for a one-owner loaded Sprague & Bedliner 2008 GMC 4x4 Z71 Sierra SLE.
Only 2,851 miles.
That's right.
Get the right price from the right selection right now.
It's Yen's all-out blowout sale. Only through the close of business today with savings on every
vehicle on the lot.
You can't afford to miss this sale.
Yen Chevrolet Buick GMC in Galesburg. See Yen for details.
The official WGIL forecast, a chance of showers this evening, definitely more likely after midnight tonight, overnight low of 72. Tomorrow, not as warm with showers and isolated thunderstorms, high of 78. Tomorrow night, showers with a low of 68. Sunday, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, high of 82. And Sunday night, cloudy with a low of 68. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 75 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
GIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together, better.
Silver Streaks Halftime. It's our pleasure to talk now with Knox Athletic Director and Head Football Coach Chad Isley. And Chad, we're going to talk some football, but also this particular time we'll talk a little basketball. We had talked to you in June, and that was after the resignation of basketball coach Rob Perlee, and you said, well, we're hoping to get the position filled just before school starts, and you were right on the money with Kevin Walden being hired.
Yeah, we hired Kevin last week, and very, very excited about Kevin coming in to coach our basketball program. The thing we were really looking for is we wanted somebody that had experience as a head coach, and Kevin has done that and been a successful head coach. Somebody that understands, you know, what a school like Knox College is all about academically, and he certainly understands that as an alum. And we really wanted somebody that has the expectation of winning, and Kevin certainly has that. And so we're looking forward to him getting started here next week and getting our basketball program headed in the right direction.
Always nice to be able to bring back an alum, and especially one that a record of turning a program around the way he did that out there in North Carolina. That had to make you feel pretty good about what he can do.
Absolutely. You know, certainly being an alum really wasn't a criteria, and it's just sort of it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. And I think Kevin, I think he knows the things that need to be changed to make our basketball program successful here. He's learned that at the other places that he's been, but yet he understands the great qualities about Knox as well too. So we think he's a great fit.
The process, did it take a long time, or were you fairly low on your number of applicants, or at least your number of ones that you were really considering down the stretch?
We certainly had well over 160 applications, so I don't know what the final number ended up being, but we had some great candidates out there, and really we just started as a committee. We were checking off the pluses and the minuses, and felt like we had a good group of finalists. And Kevin, when he came on campus, clearly came out on top.
Yeah, a big committee or just four or five of you? How'd that work out?
Yeah, we had a handful of alums and some of our staff members as well. And we certainly had interviews across campus and met with a wide variety of people.
Kevin, I think, is supposed to get here this coming week, so you might pass along. We may have him here on halftime next week if he can spare a few minutes.
I'm sure he'll be able to do that, and we'll love to do it. He's excited to get started on Monday.
Well, okay, let's turn our attention now to football. You guys are getting set for your opener with Eureka, and you've added a little touch to that. It's now going to be the Lincoln Bowl game. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it started a couple years ago. They've got a guy actually I went to high school with at Richwoods named John Morris, and John had talked to some people over there and thought this would be a neat idea to get started, and so we ran with it. So it's Abraham Lincoln only spoke at a few schools in his lifetime, and Knox and Eureka were two of them. And so we thought, what a neat way to start a rivalry and start the season off playing for a trophy.
So you start off the season with Lincoln and finish it with Turkey, huh?
Yeah, it's we say we play for three trophies a year, and one's the Midwest Conference trophy, one's the Bronze Turkey, and now we've added the bust of Abraham Lincoln.
Let's talk about the Eureka game on the road Saturday. What are your thoughts on Eureka?
Well, Saturday it's here on Saturday,
yeah,
and we're looking forward to it a lot. It's it's a good opening game for both of us. Our team's very, very excited for it, and You know, we've got a lot of key kids returning this year, and you know, we hope to get started on the right foot this year.
What are some of the big strides that you're trying to make off of last year? I mean, obviously, you've talked about it several times, and I know that out at Galesburg High School, same thing. When you've had a few losing seasons, the mental process of not being out there and thinking, boy, what's going to go wrong? What's going to take it away from us this week? Is that a hurdle you've had to cross?
Absolutely. And it's sort of, you know, it's neat having Coach Doherty here. I mean, somebody that I've known since I was he's a little bit older than I am. So, you know, you hear him say the things that he says, and you know, we certainly learn from the same group of people. And you know, our thing for us is offensively, we need to be consistent, and that's something that we struggled. We'd move the ball two or three series in a row, and then we'd go two or three series of three and out. So we need to be consistent, and defensively, we need to cause turnovers. We had 9 turnovers total as a defense last year, and 4 of them came in the first game, and that's just unacceptable. We've got to do a better job of getting the ball back to the offense sooner.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you hear that more and more. I think Lovie Smith has been a big proponent of that for years. For a long time, it was avoid turnovers. But on the other side, to be aggressive and force those and give yourself a short field and a takeaway can really turn the momentum too, can't it?
Absolutely. It's hard for any offense to drive the ball 80, 90 yards a series. It's just there's so many things that can go wrong. You know, a drop ball here or a miscommunication, and all of a sudden you're punting the ball. So the shorter the field you can be on, the better it is, and the less chance of making mistakes along the way.
What would you say the strengths of your team and the areas you're most concerned with right now?
Well, we really like our offensive line. We think our offensive line is as good as anybody else that we're going to face in the Midwest Conference, and a great group of kids, and you know, led by Jordan Willits, who's a junior from Alito, Illinois, and has done a great job for us there. And then our running game. We think our 3 running backs that will play, Derek Mortensen, who was all-conference last year as a sophomore, Court Shield, who will be a junior this year as well, and Mike Schroeder, who will be a senior for us. We feel those 3 are as good of running stable as anybody can have in Division III. And then, you know, defensively, it all revolves around Mike Hendrick at linebacker. He led the nation in tackles last year. I've coached 8 All-American linebackers, and I've never coached anybody that's as fast as he is side to side.
Is it the Urlacher type of syndrome where he's just a really good athlete and can do things that most guys at that position can't do?
Yeah, you know, I tell Mike this all the time. He's certainly not the greatest linebacker I've ever coached. Linebacker is not, he doesn't sleep, eat, breathe, read in the guard, but he is so fast and he gets to the ball so quickly that even if he makes a mistake on a read, he gets there faster than most anybody else.
As you look around the conference, are there many teams with a big passing game, or have some of those? I know that, you know, of course, Monmouth has lost Tanny. I'm not sure with Illinois College. I don't think they've got their big quarterback returning. Is the passing game not as prolific as maybe it was a few years ago in the conference?
Well, you know, I think it is. You know, certainly Monmouth is, you know, it's hard to replace, you know, the best Division III quarterback in the country. So we'll see what happens there. But Illinois College, their quarterback was a freshman last year and was all conference. And, you know, he'll be coming back. Lake Forest quarterback, they really got the ball rolling offensively at the end of the year. And, you know, St. Norbert's, you know, a pretty steady passing team as well, too. So. And Lawrence runs the run and shoot, so they're, you know, they're going to throw the ball quite a bit. So it's still throwing the ball, but I think if you look at even at the Division I level, you've got to be able to run the ball to be successful game in, game out.
You mentioned Coach Tim Doherty. You knew him before he arrived. Tell us about your relationship with him.
Well, Coach Doherty actually, you know, I had the opportunity to play for 2 Hall of Fame coaches in Tom Peeler and Rod Butler. And Coach Peeler and Coach Butler lived 2 houses away from each other. And Coach Doherty lived, his house was right next to Coach Peeler's house. So so those guys have, they're very close, and it's a very tight-knit group. And, you know, Coach Doherty was a head coach at Bergen when I was playing at Richwoods. And, you know, Bergen, Bergen didn't have the best of records back then, but they were always well coached and they came out and played hard each and every game. And that was, you know, the things Coach Doherty taught them and instilled in them. And it looks like from what happened Friday night, things that are happening here at Galesburg as well.
Yeah. Well, and you're a few years removed from Richwoods, but you had to be pretty happy with what they did the other night.
Yeah, you know, I'm always we've got our first Richwoods football recruit, Ben Curry, since I was the last Richwoods recruit to come play at Knox. So it's been since 1986. So yeah, we're both Ben and I. We make sure everybody knows. We made sure everybody knew how Richwoods did this past weekend.
Well, and you didn't get Kendrick Foster over here, but no D3 school was going to get him, I guess.
No, he's a difference maker, and he's going to do a fine job for Richwoods and a fine job for U of I.
Well, look, Coach and Athletic Director Chad Isay, we wish you the best this season. Hopefully Knox can get a few more in the W column and get things rolling out here and get things excited.
Thanks, Jim.
Head Coach Chad Isay of Knox, our guest, as we talked a little basketball and football here on the Silver Streaks Halftime. We'll be back to take a look at the halftime stats, talk with the coaches, and more after this on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
Preliminary hearings will be held September 25th for the two men charged in connection with the shooting death of a Galesburg man outside a local home late Monday. That was determined after it was learned today that one of the two, 33-year-old Barry Fletcher of Galesburg, no longer faces murder charges. Instead, he's charged with obstruction of justice and possession of a weapon by a felon. 30-year-old Jeremy Carter of Monmouth still faces murder counts for the death of 38-year-old Terrell Allen. A motive for the crime still is not clear. The TAMS and Dwight prisons and other facilities Illinois Governor Pat Quinn wants to close will stay open at least another month. An arbitrator has ruled Quinn's administration has violated the rights of union workers by rushing the process. The arbitrator has ordered state government to keep negotiating with the closures with the workers' union. And state and local emergency officials are preparing for the possibility of flooding in Illinois as what's left of Hurricane Isaac blows swirls across the state. The storm could pour out several inches of rain. I'm Will Stevenson. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. President Obama addressed troops at Fort Bliss, Texas, 2 years after the Iraq War ended.
On this anniversary, we honor the memory of all who gave their lives there. Nearly 4,500 American patriots.
The president signed an executive order giving troops and veterans better access to mental health care. Mitt Romney visited flood-ravaged sections of Louisiana on his first trip after accepting the Republican nomination.
One of the things he said he wanted to do by coming here was to bring attention to the situation in order to encourage people to take part in the relief effort through volunteerism and charitable giving. But he also wanted to get a briefing and learn, and said that repeatedly.
Fox News Radio's Carl Cameron. Romney met with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. Hurricane Isaac caused extensive flooding and knocked out electricity to more than 800,000 people. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends.
Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's a great time to complete your building and remodeling projects now during Menards Construction Sale. Save big on lumber, roofing, siding, and much more. Add the beauty of stone veneer fireplaces, columns, and more to your home with stone mortar mix. It's great as a stone veneer base coat application and joint grouting. It's pre-blended, just add water. A 60-pound bag of stone mortar mix is now just $4.88.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tomorrow afternoon as the Redbirds take on the Washington Nationals. Coverage begins at 2:30 on WGIL.
Tune in for Cardinal Baseball on WGIL.
Halftime at Morton. The Silver Streaks lead the host Potters 6-3 in a low-scoring first half, but a great defensive effort for the Silver Streaks. Jim Lee is on the sideline with Tim Doherty. Well, we'll have to fill you in more on that when we get an opportunity. So maybe we'll take this opportunity to give you some first half highlights from that first half, which didn't feature a whole lot. Morton on the opening drive started off at its own 32-yard line, ended up running 13 plays downfield. And they capped off the 47-yard scoring drive from the Galesburg 21-yard line with a nice 38-yard field goal from Connor Kindred and took a 3-0 lead. Silver Streaks did not score on their opening possession. They held Morton scoreless on the Potters' second drive of the game. Then Silver Streaks took over with just over a minute, just less than a minute played in the second quarter. Silver Streaks took over from their own 39-yard line behind Jonathan Mixon. They ran three straight plays for 3, 8, and 11 yards. Trevon Diggins had the big offensive play of the drive with a 29-yard run that took the Silver Streaks down to first and goal from the 10-yard line. Two plays later, Jonathan Mixon finished it off. It was a 5-yard touchdown. Mixon, his fourth run of the season, and the Silver Streaks' extra point attempt was no good. And that's where we are right now, 6-3, as we get ready to start things off in the second half. Offensively for the Silver Streaks, 113 rushing yards. They have not attempted a pass tonight behind sophomore Peyton Isaacson. 16 carries, 113 yards, 12 carries and 79 yards for Jonathan Mixon. Two rushes for 32 yards for Trevon Diggins. Isaacson had a 2-yard run, and Ben Holloway carried it once for no gain. Time of possession is all in favor of Morton. We'll get you some more halftime statistics as we continue along, but we're ready to start the second half. At least we thought we were. As Morton approached for the opening kickoff, the officials blew the whistle, and they'll make him do it again here. Jim, all of a sudden, the wireless mic was working great. You get down there to do the interview, and we got nothing. So can you summarize for us?
Yeah, we just had a couple of questions, and he said Ellie wants to get the defense off the field a little more. Felt like Morton was spending too much time moving the football on us, and I asked him about the some of the pass plays underneath that were hurting us, and he said a lot of those are coming off of running plays putting out to the side, and so he said they're trying to address that to limit the damage on those shorter passes from Rossi.
Well, there's a reason why he felt the defense was on the field so much. Morton had the ball only three times in the first half, but of the 24 minutes that were played, 16 minutes and 5 seconds were in the hands of Morton offensively, and yet only a field goal to show for it. The Silver Streaks had the ball for only 8 minutes in the first half, and they lead 6-3. The opening kickoff boomed into the end zone as expected behind Connor Kindred, so the Silver Streaks from their own 20-yard line, we are underway in the second half. The handoff to Trevon Diggins, trying to work his way up the middle, got past an initial tackle, still on his feet, still fighting his way forward, close to the 25-yard line, a good hard run by Trevon. Carry of just, well, they're actually going to put him right at the 25, so somehow he got five out of that.
You know, this is an interesting night, and really what we'd expected weather-wise. The rain came a little earlier than we thought earlier today, but it's a steady rain. It's not a deluge, but just what we thought. No wind, just coming straight down and keeping things wet.
Up the middle for Jonathan Mixon. He breaks free, and this is a foot race that he is going to win for the touchdown. Opening drive, second play of the second half, a 75-yard touchdown run by Jonathan Mixon, and the Streaks burst to a 12-3 lead.
Fantastic. Great job blocking scheme on the right side, and Mixon has that ability to run with such power, but he also has speed when he gets step on a guy, and that's what makes him so dangerous as he takes it to the house. And the only downside, Brad, Coach said he didn't want the defense on the field, but when Mixon's running 73, our offense is going to come off pretty fast.
He just about doubled his rushing total, 79 yards in the first half. That's a 75-yard touchdown run. He's up to 154 yards rushing, and the Silver Streaks, after missing the extra point earlier, will go for two here. Isaacson, under pressure, he couldn't get the pass away. Real hesitation by Peyton after taking the snap, and Morton ran him down from the backside.
Yep, broken play on the conversion. Let's hope we don't pay a price for that.
11:18 to go, third quarter. Streaks now lead 12-3. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Every morning to prove how smart he is, Dan does the crossword puzzle.
13-letter word for 500th anniversary. Quincentenary. Nailed it.
This morning, however, his wife Katie tops him. She brings an awesome meal she got off McDonald's dollar menu at breakfast. A sausage burrito made with savory sausage, melted cheese, and fluffy eggs. Premium roast coffee and more. Everything so good and just a buck each. Who's smart now?
4-letter word for genius.
Wife. Nailed it.
McDonald's dollar menu at breakfast. The simple joy of being smart. Price and participation may vary.
The Handyman Show with Glenn Hagee, Saturday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Ryan Wiegan returns the streak's kickoff from the 12, 15 yards forward to the 27-yard line where Morton takes over. After a two-play scoring drive from the Silver Streaks, it covered 80 yards, 75 of it by senior fullback Jonathan Mixon, his second touchdown run of the night, his fifth of the season. The extra point conversion was no good, and the Silver Streaks lead 12-3, making a winner of Patty Leeson of Galesburg. In the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest, she wins a $10 gift certificate to Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Rossi on the pitch on the delay, trying to get to the outside. Goes Drew Taphorn, working his way to the right up the far sideline. Good gain on first down. He's going to advance it all the way to about the 35-yard line for a gain of 8 on first down.
On special teams, kickoff coverage, Chris Anderson, the sophomore, made a nice tackle up here shy of the 30 and got a nice big hug from one of the assistant coaches. Anytime a sophomore can make that contribution, happy to see it. And I was going to tell you down on the field when I was talking to Coach Doherty, one of the officials came up and said, you need to probably stay a little bit more on the field. He said, I've had some complaints by one of the other officials that you're getting out there too far.
Across the middle of the field, good crossing pattern right into the hands of Taphorn again. It was Drew Taphorn on the carry. Now it's Drew Taphorn on the reception. He's also got Chase Taphorn, his brother, out there, who's a favorite target. But it was Drew who advances it to the Galesburg 45-yard line for a pickup of 20.
That was the best throw we've seen all night. Put that thing right on a line, even on a rainy evening. That was perfect.
From the Galesburg 45-yard line now. Third play of the Morton drive after Galesburg scored on its opening possession. Out of the shotgun, Rossi to pass again, far side of the field, incomplete. Looked like it was underthrown a little bit to the intended receiver on the far side, Zach Hamm, and it'll be second and 10 in Streaks territory at the 45.
Yeah, one thing, you know, Rossi is he's a good passer, an accurate thrower, but as we found out last week against DeKalb, they had a strong-arm quarterback, not as accurate and mature as Rossi, but he ran into some problems throwing into coverage, and the Streaks have some guys, I'm thinking especially of Trevon Diggins back in there. He's a ball hawk. If you get the ball in his neighborhood, he could take it back the other way for a touchdown, so got to be a little careful if you're Rossi out there throwing into coverage.
He stays in the shotgun. Man in motion working right to left is Chase Taphorn, and flags fly as the Potters get this away, and it'll be a 5-yard penalty after a false start by the offensive line. Only the third penalty of the night against, rather the fifth penalty of the night for Morton, but nothing big so far, 27 yards total. Even though with the time of possession strongly in favor of Morton in the opening half, Streaks outgained them on the ground, 113 to 73 yards, but Morton did have 67 yards to the air passing, and now 87 after the 20-yard completion a moment ago. Back to the 50 now on second and 15. Rolling to the near side, Rossi, and right into the numbers of Chase Taphorn again, and he just drops it, incomplete. Third down and 15.
Well, again, Mother Nature's been our friend on this particular night, because if you have a team like Galesburg that's predominantly running against a Morton team that likes to throw the ball a lot, heavy rain's always going to favor the running team, and so far you look at the scoreboard and that's been the case with Galesburg up 12-3.
It's been 30 years since the Silver Streaks have started a season 2-0, but we're only 2 minutes into the third quarter, Galesburg leading 12-3 on a couple of touchdown runs by Jonathan Mixon. So a long way to go, obviously, but Streaks have held the line defensively, giving up only a field goal so far in this one. Now third and 15 at midfield. Out of the shotgun, Rossi. Right across the middle of the field, incomplete.
I'm not even sure who he's throwing to there.
Well, Taphorn was the intended receiver, but even when the ball was in his neighborhood, it looked like he was still running upfield with his back to the ball. Streaks made a diving attempt at the interception, but it's now fourth and 15.
Punt unit on the field for the first time for the Potters.
Do you believe the Morton Potters are now 3-for-8 on third downs tonight? The Silver Streaks have faced third down only one time this evening. Here's the punt downfield. Streaks
get the end zone.
Left
the
it
end
empty
zone.
Down there. Takes a big hop, and the second hop does finally get across the goal line, and the Silver Streaks will take it at the 20. Didn't even send anybody back to return that one, so the defense holds again. Two quick plays by the Potters, and they were into Galesburg territory. And then Galesburg gave up nothing more after that, and they have it with 9:54 to go, third quarter from their own 20.
Yeah, defense has given up a few yards here and there tonight, but always seems to come up big. I thought when they completed that 20-yard pass, I thought, okay, here we go. They're going to unleash the air Potters on us, and we're going to move up and down the field. But that was where the drive stalled out. Galesburg now with the ball back and hopefully can put another drive together here.
After three straight incompletions by the quarterback, David Rossi. Isaacson spins at the quarterback spot, now hands off. The play goes to the left side, a little dive forward up to about the 25. Not a bad pickup on first down by Jonathan Mixon. When it looked like on a little delayed play that there might not be much there initially. He's up to 159 yards rushing now.
Well, win or lose tonight, I don't want to put a jinx on us at this point of the third quarter, but it's obvious in the second year of Tim Doherty's coaching assignment here at Galesburg, this team has improved leaps and bounds. And with a lot of the same players we had last year.
Handoff goes to the left side. Mixon again. Ducks down low. Keeps the feet moving forward. It'll be stopped short of the first down. Close to the 30. About a yard short. And it'll be third and one upcoming. And just as I said a moment ago, Streaks have faced third down only once tonight. Now they're going to get a third and short here from about their own 20. We'll call it from the 28-yard line.
Well, when Morton has third and short, you know who's going to take it. Rossi, the quarterback. He's converted a number of times, and I've got a feeling Mixon's going to get the call here for Galesburg. It's no secret. You just got to stop it.
Third and three. Handoff goes to the right. Mixon gets down low and just barrels his way forward. The ball comes out at the end of the play, but the officials were already blowing the whistles, and the Streaks are going to have a first down at the 35. It was clear from up here that the knee was down.
Yep. And you could hear the whistle blow before you saw everybody going after it. And we've got a player down on the field. It's like one of the he's up now, one of the Galesburg linemen, I believe. And it looks like 71, Derek Brackett. And Brackett will stay out there.
Mark the ball at the 34-yard line. Mixon needed two. He got six.
That's something. Because you know that Morton, everybody on the field, especially in that short yardage situation, was keying on Jonathan Mixon, and still he gets 6 yards.
Diggins in motion, takes the handoff out of the wingback spot, keeps his hand on the ground to keep the feet moving forward. That prevented the knee from going down. Now Trevon comes up, favoring his left leg a little bit, and yep, he reaches right back for the thigh, the back of the thigh. But he takes it forward to the 37.5-yard line. It'll be second and seven.
Same thing that was bothering him last week. You know, he had numerous plays where he was down one time for, it seemed like, about 10 minutes. But he kept coming back, and I'm sure he'll be back tonight. Once you get a muscle stretched out like that, it just takes a while to get it back into 100% shape.
7:40 to go here in the third quarter. Streaks lead by 9. Hand off to the left side. Mixon found a hole. Bounces off a linebacker across the 45 into first down territory at the 46-yard line.
For those of us that were here 2 years ago and watched their big fullback rumble over us and we couldn't stop him, this kind of does my heart good, Brad. This is enjoyable to give them a little bit of what they gave us 2 years ago, just that straight power running football, and you can't stop it.
Leading by one, Morton just basically ran the final 8.5 minutes off the clock behind him at the end of the game, and the Streaks never got another chance after that to get those 2 points they needed for the victory. Silver Streaks lead by 9 here. Hand off to the second man through. Not many carries tonight for Ben Holloway, and that one goes nowhere as we approach the 7-minute mark of the third quarter. Did he get back to the line of scrimmage? That's where I don't know how he did, if he did.
That's a pretty generous spot.
That's where they're putting it. No gain. Second and 10.
Well, this game has hummed right along here in the rain, which, by the way, is not coming down nearly as hard now as it was earlier. Up in Rock Island, we were told the Rocks and Metamora, after the first quarter, it was 21-20 Metamora. They're going to be there a while tonight.
Last time I had checked the score, it was 14-14. So my update is a lot slower than the reality.
Uh-oh.
Here's a flag flying as Isaacson was going for the fake. And, boy, frustration by the Silver Streaks as they saw an opportunity. O'Brien Allen out of the tight end spot was open downfield after Isaacson disguised the handoff. And I think O'Brien felt that he had a big play there, and it's coming back on the penalty.
Well, when you don't throw much and then you get in that passing formation, sometimes people get a little excited coming out of the huddle, and apparently somebody jumped a little too soon right there, and Streaks get moved back 5 yards, and now look at second and 15.
Only the third penalty of the night on Galesburg, but the first two that they had on their opening drive were big ones that really stalled that one and pushed them back deep when they had to punt it away. Ended up not hurting them in the long run. Toss into the backfield. Mixon found an opening just outside a right tackle. He's across midfield before taken down at the Morton 48-yard line. Big hit by Jake Castleman coming out of the secondary, but good advancement by Mixon. Now gives the streak short yardage after a second and deep becomes third and four.
Yeah, Mixon gets the credit for the yardage there, but that was certainly a line surge because that pitch back to Mixon, nobody touched him till I think he was probably at least 8 yards deep on that sweep. And so everybody doing their blocking assignments well sets up a nice third down opportunity just across midfield for Galesburg.
Streaks 1-for-2 on third downs tonight, third and four from the Morton 48. Toss. Mixon going the opposite side. The left side, he's got the first down and then taken down just a yard past the first down marker, but they'll move the chains at the Morton 43.
Sweep right, sweep left, first down. Mixon finally gets up after getting buried over there. Looked to me like Jonathan realized he was going to have the first down. He really didn't turn it on. He was trying to pick a spot, I think, to maybe find a hole and take it farther. Couldn't really find that, so settled for the extra yard and the first down.
Ninth play of the drive that started back at the Galesburg 20. 4.5 minutes ago, we're approaching the 5-minute mark of the third quarter. The rain has really let up now. It's coming down in kind of a heavy mist almost,
yep.
It looks like. Streaks leading 12-3. Backing up, Holloway takes the handoff. Flag flies in the backfield. Holloway gets a couple on the run.
Motion on Galesburg.
And that'll be moving it back 5 yards again. Diggins comes back into the game. Giving Trevon a hard time earlier today when I saw him at school saying, you're drinking lots of water today, right? After he went down with those cramps, lots of water. You are drinking water, right? And he says, I'm telling you, I drink water all the time. It doesn't do any good. Bananas. He said,
yeah.
I've been chowing down on bananas. So,
all the potassium.
That's right.
Supposed to be good to prevent cramps. He is back out on the field.
Yep, he didn't stay out for very long. They haven't marked off the penalty yet against the Silver Streaks. This would take it back to the 48.
I don't know what. They never did.
And it doesn't appear that they're going to mark it off. So under 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Silver Streaks with a 12-3 lead. This will be second and 10. Diggins in motion and a fumble at the exchange. Isaacson dives forward trying to get it back.
Wow, we got it back.
We sure did.
Peyton
comes off the bottom, clapping his hands.
Break that Morton had been looking for to try and slow down this Galesburg drive, but the Streak's quick enough to pounce back on it, and now we're at third down and 10. I still don't understand what happened with the penalty.
I don't either. It was a loss of down. They counted it like a play. If it's an illegal shift, you don't run the play, right?
Right. Well, yeah, they didn't let the play go to completion, did they?
Well, they did.
I thought there was a whistle before it ended. But.
And now we're going to have a timeout. By Coach Tim Doherty with 4:15 to go in the third quarter. Galesburg leading by 9, facing 3rd and 10 from the Morton 43 upcoming. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, by Knox County Hearing Clinic on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, and by Chuck Ross of Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables.
Pratty Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. Ask them about details of money-saving auto home discount. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premiums. For more information, call the Pratty Insurance Agency on North Henderson Street in Galesburg today and start saving.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
The Galesburg timeout, 4:15 to go, third quarter, 12-3. The Silver Streaks lead, facing third and 10, rolling out to the near side. Isaacson under pressure across the middle of the field. Tight pass intended for a Holloway just inside the 35-yard line. Two defenders there. He drops it. It's incomplete. And the Galesburg faithful right below us screaming for interference by the defense.
Yeah, I thought the contact was a little ahead of the ball, but didn't get the call that time. So you pick it up and get in punt formation and turn it over to your defense here. Nice pass play. I mean, they were within a couple of inches of making it work, just ball thrown a little too low. But you want to have safety first in that situation. The last thing you want is a pick returned. So now we will.
That's Isaacson out there in a deep, deep snap. He takes it, and then they're going to do a quick kick, and the flag comes down from the back judge. Looks like, is he pointing a penalty against Morton?
About has to be.
I thought it was going to be a delay of game, but I didn't think that the Streaks had taken that much time. So the referee. Now we got the referee looking back at the back judge, and he's got his arms out. Going to walk it over and talk it over with the side judge, with Coach Jason Tierry right there to listen very closely, and they are waving off the flag. So we'll try it again. So the Streaks' opportunity maybe to surprise Morton with a quick kick is now taken away by waving off the penalty. And let's see if they line up in more traditional punt formation now.
Well, Tim Doherty's some kind of unhappy.
Uh-huh.
Well, because, like I said, the quick kick was probably going to be very effective. They didn't have anybody back. Well, now they're wiser on that, so you probably see Morton drop somebody back, and now the head official over there trying to explain it to Coach Doherty. Not sure how satisfied he's going to be with this explanation.
Hey, I don't have an answer.
Cute moment before the game as Coach Doherty came out of the team huddle down to our far right, down along the track prior to the game. As he's heading over, his granddaughter goes running out to get his attention, so he comes over, gets a big hug from her before he goes out to the game, and maybe that's what he needs. With the Streaks leading by 9, 4:07 to go here in the first half, but then his grandson tried to get his grandfather's attention as well as he started to head to the sideline, went running out there, but it was just too late, and Tim didn't see him. All right, so let's see. Now, Isaacson's going to go back out there.
We're still 4th and 10.
From the 43, so it's not exactly the kind of position where you want to
go for it.
But they're huddling up.
They're going to kick it.
4:07 to go. Isaacson was deep in the shotgun, and now he's going to come up under center. Takes the snap. Hand off to the left side. Mixon trying to get to the far side across the 35-yard line, and that's where he'll be stopped. Just a couple of yards short of the first down. Streaks have a decent kicking game this year between Drake Sykes at the punting.
Well, they nearly made it work
on the
run that time. And we've seen, Morton do this once in the first half. It cost them when we took the ball all the way down for the only touchdown of the half with good field position. But I think the coaches are a little wary of, a long snap and the things that could happen on a damp field.
True.
And so we just went for it. Turn it over now. Morton takes over on their own 35.
Exactly 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. And lost in that, Jonathan Mixon's 8-yard run puts him over 200 yards rushing tonight. Pass to the near side and underthrown again. Intended for Chase Taphorn. Did a good job of almost pulling that one up right off the top of the grass, but just couldn't hang on to it. Incomplete. And now 4 straight incompletions by the quarterback, David Rossi, after he started the game 7-for-9.
Yeah, that one was all on Rossi, too, because Taphorn was wide open out there. If he throws that ball in his numbers, he's got at least 10, maybe 15 yards. But threw it too low. Incompletion. Streaks catch a break, and we'll try and load it up again on second down.
They have run 7 offensive plays in the second half, 5 of them pass attempts. Now they toss one into the backfield, trying to get to the outside.
Good job.
Good job wrapping up Jack Compton from the backside as he sprinted for the far sideline. He'll pick up a couple on first down. It's going to bring up 3rd and 8.
Looks like Mitchell Moss over there for Galesburg. O'Brien Allen again in on the tackle as the Streaks good pursuit side to side and force a, well, I'm sure Morton considers a pretty key 3rd down for them. 3:30 to go, 3rd quarter, and Silver Streaks trying to get the ball back. And so this quarter's done a couple things, Brad. We got the touchdown, plus we've had the time of possession in our favor, and that was exactly what Coach Doherty wanted.
And if the Streaks can get a big defensive stop, they'll get it right back here. 3:20 to go, rolling out to the near side. Rossi throwing sideline. It's caught and wrapped up right at the 50-yard line, but not before Brent Wabel picks up the 1st down on the reception. And they're right at midfield now after a gain of 13.
You know, Rossi, a guy that's not just a straight back pocket passer. In high school, you really can't be. And he's able to throw that ball nicely on the run. Again, he reminds me an awful lot when he throws it on the run of Alex Tanney that had all those records over at Monmouth College. Now, that's pretty lofty praise. Now, I'm not sure he'll ever be that good of a quarterback, but his style and the way he delivers the ball on the move is very, very similar.
Brent Wabel's 1st reception of the night, and Rossi has exactly 100 yards passing as he rolls out to the far side, finds an open man again, and it goes through his arms on the far side of the field, and Trevon Diggins was about a step and a half away from intercepting that deflection.
Well, caught another break. That ball was right on his hands. Let's see, that would have been about 10 or 12 yards where he would have caught the ball, let alone any run he would have added on, so keep on raining.
Clock stops, 2:49 to go. Morton with the passing game, really trying to draw this game out as the Silver Streaks chewed up yardage and clock on that second possession here in the 3rd quarter. Back to pass, Rossi, flushed out, flushed forward, gets past a man, dumps it off underneath, and Taphorn gets close to a 1st down. Drew Taphorn, after the reception, does get the 1st down just inside the 40.
Galesburg sideline insisting Rossi was across the line of scrimmage, and I think they're right.
I do, too. There's no flag, and the officials are paying no attention to the argument. You might hear the Galesburg fans right below us with the Bronx cheer. Down to the 39-yard line after a gain of 11. That would have been the 2nd time tonight that Rossi had done it. So there's precedence there as well. But now at the Galesburg 39-yard line after a gain of 11, he has 111 yards passing now.
Yeah, we've given up some yardage in this one, but we always come up with a big stand. Let's do it again here.
Leading by 9 of the Silver Streaks. Handoff goes to the right into the hands of Drew Taphorn. He's down to the 35 after a gain of 4 more.
Andrew Barnes again on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. He's done a nice job tonight, been in on a lot of tackles. Been, well, through this first 2 weeks, just a great team effort by this club on both sides of the ball, especially defensively. You just see swarms of Silver Streaks. Rarely do you see one guy have to make a solo tackle. There's usually somebody there to help.
At the Galesburg 35, handoff goes to the right. Miller tries to bounce to the outside,
yeah,
and a big tackle. Woo! Coming out of the streak secondary.
Tyson Parks.
That could have been a lot more.
Finished him off. It was actually Jacob Ryden who made him bounce outside, delayed his progress, and then Tyson came over from the high side and just polished him off.
So, again, what could have been a big gain there. Tyson Parks holds it to just a yard. And 3rd and 5 for Morton now, coming from the 34-yard line of the Silver Streaks. 1:20 to go in the 3rd quarter. Galesburg leads 12-3. Morton on the move coming out of the I formation. Back to pass. Rossi with a play fake. Looking downfield. Has a man open to the corner, and it's dropped again. The man was open. The pass was right there. And he just dropped it. Brent Wabel, the intended receiver, another incompletion.
If he catches that, it's probably 6. We had a couple of guys in pursuit, but if he catches it and turns maybe 5 yards up, he's in the end zone. And another big break. So now a big 4th down coming for Morton. As I would guess you see them probably going to the shorter pass here. They had the guy wide open in the flat, too. They could have taken 10, but they went for the home run.
4th and 5 from the Galesburg 34-yard line. Morton has converted 1 of 3 on 4th down tonight. Here comes the rush. He gets the pass away. It's bobbled but complete. Inside the 20-yard line goes Wabel with the completion this time. And a 1st down down to the 16, a gain of 18.
Wabel brought down by Michael Moss of the Silver Streaks. And it's becoming pretty apparent this is the run versus the pass now. I don't know you'll see Morton run the ball much more in this game now that they're getting some effectiveness throwing the ball with 1 minute to go in the 3rd quarter.
up to 129 yards passing now for the senior quarterback, David Rossi. First down from the Galesburg 16-yard line. Out of the I formation, toss goes to the right side, trying to get to the outside, and then stepping up goes Jack Compton across the 15, down to about the 12-yard line.
I believe this is the deepest penetration of the game.
It is.
By the Potters. They had a field goal early, but that was from 38 yards out.
Gain of 3. Compton's sixth carry of the night for 18 yards. It'll be 2nd and 7 from the Silver Streaks 13-yard line. First time Morton has been inside the 20. Out of the I formation again. Rossi under center. On the keeper this time. Wrapped up from behind. Taken down for the sack.
Jacob Ryden again for the Silver Streaks, and he's been a tough one tonight. Last year, not able to play for a little stretch of time, and when he came back, you noticed it, and he's been big tonight.
End of the third quarter. Silver Streaks add to the lead. It's 12-3. The defense must respond as we start the fourth quarter coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
You can go hunting out here. You can hit the trails on your four-wheeler out here. You can be who you want to be on the acreage that's for sale just north of Dehinda. 5 spacious acres just waiting for you. Visit galesburg.info, keyword FISBO, for details.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Ready to start the fourth quarter. Silver Streaks with a 12-3 lead over the Morton Potters. This is a series that started 3 years ago. The Silver Streaks have not defeated Morton in a very short series, and they won't play again after this year because of the Western Big Six expanding to add the Peoria teams. But right now, a big sack by Jacob Ryden moves Morton back 3 yards. The ball now spotted at the Silver Streak 16-yard line. 2 down territory on 3rd and 9 coming up here. And a bit of a delay here to start the fourth quarter. The rain still coming down steady, not as heavy as it was earlier. It's been steady all night, but not heavy by any means. Out of the shotgun now as we're ready to start the fourth quarter. 3rd and 9 for the Potters. Silver Streaks lead by 9. Back to pass. Rossi under pressure right across the middle of the field, and it is complete inside the 5-yard line. The Silver Streaks keep Morton out of the end zone, but they've got a 1st and goal coming up now after the completion to Chase Taphorn.
Yeah, threw it right in between the 1 and the 8 on Taphorn's numbers. It looked like he bobbled it there just a little bit as the Streaks were trying to close in around him, but he kept hold of it and kept possession, and now 1st and goal for Morton.
Spotted at the Galesburg 4-yard line. Out of the split backfield. Handoff straight up the middle, and there's plenty of room there as Jake Starkey takes it in. Just a sophomore right up the middle for a 4-yard touchdown run. And 24 seconds into the fourth quarter, Morton pulls within 3 at 12-9.
Man, their extra point, pretty much a sure thing with this this kicker who we saw last year was terrific, and then tonight had no trouble knocking through a 38-yard field goal that would have been good from 48. So they'll try and narrow the gap down to 2 points here.
And don't think that 1 point doesn't make a huge difference with the kicker they have. The snap was a little low, but
kick.
They managed to corral it and straighten it out, and Kindred booms it through, and with 11:36 to go, that pulls Morton within 2, 12-10, and that score is just a little too uncomfortable after what happened here 2 years ago.
No question. Now, the job for us is just to get another score. Then we don't have to have those nervous moments because this guy with his ability to kick, I would say he's got a leg that on a calm night could hit from 50. So you don't want it to come down to that. What you want to do is just take it, move it right back down the field yourself, and reestablish that lead.
Take 4 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. Morton moves it 65 yards. And how odd, Jim, that the Silver Streaks' first touchdown of the night and Morton's first touchdown of the night both come in situations where the opposition chose not to punt the ball and try to push the offense a little bit deeper. And both times, each team comes back and makes the other one pay with a touchdown.
Now, normally I'm a proponent of going for it anytime you're in that territory, but on a night like this, not so much. The yards can be so hard to come by on a wet night. I thought they both should have kicked it, and it turns out they should have.
Diggins and Holloway deep. Are they going to get a chance to return it? Diggins looks up, watches it go over his head, bounce 7 yards deep into the end zone, and the Silver Streaks will have it at the 20. We still have nearly a full fourth quarter to play, and Galesburg's 9-point lead is down to 2 now at 12-10. I want to thank one of our sponsors here on WGIL for providing our transportation to Morton tonight. Jim and I traveling in a 2011 Nissan Altima, certified pre-owned, and a heck of a deal at just under $20,000. And you can check out Nissan's new dealership location at 2080 North Henderson Street. And Jim, sounds like it's been a good start for him out there.
It has been a very good start through the first month. We're at the end of August. They started there the first part of this month and have really enjoyed the public support at their new location.
Hand off to Ben Holloway. Good gain on first down as he sprints to the near sideline and stopped just short of the 30-yard line. Pickup of 9 on first down.
That sure makes that second down play call a lot easier. But I don't think, while some teams might do a little trickery or use that second and short for some big play opportunities on a night like this, and Galesburg with a sophomore quarterback, I think you stay pretty conservative. And, there's a fumble. Let's get on that.
Fumble down. Isaacson slips on the turf, has to reach out to get his hands on it, and a flag came up from the side judge as well.
We'll
the clock stops
the
at 11
is.
Minutes to go. It's a false start against Galesburg, so they're going to lose ground either way. Move it back 5 yards. And it'll be spotted at the 24-yard line. But they don't lose the down with the recovered fumble. So they lose yardage one way or the other, but this way they don't lose the down. So it actually works out in Galesburg's favor.
Peyton Isaacson is always getting his workout, running back and forth to the sidelines to get his play call from Coach Doherty. Ball's on the near side hash mark, close to the Galesburg bench, so not quite as long a run this time.
Fourth penalty of the night for Galesburg, 34 yards. Isaacson with a toss as Diggins sweeps around to the right side. Found an opening up the far sideline. He's got some... Breaks free of the tackle. Trying to get back to the middle of the field. Gets a key block. Trevon's going to go all the way. Woohoo!
I kept looking for a penalty flag to fall somewhere because you think it's too good to be true, but there were none to be found. And now the thunder and lightning combination. Finally, we get the lightning of Diggins to complement the thunder of Mixon, and the Silver Streaks back tandem continues to make things happen here in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Diggins at about the Morton 40-yard line got tripped up from behind. He kept on his feet and kept moving, then got a key block as he broke back toward the middle of the field, and I wish I could have seen what the number was, because that's what allowed Trevon to finish off the final 30-plus yards for a 76-yard touchdown run. In for the extra point, Tanner Laird. The snap looks good, and the kick is blocked. And the Silver Streaks recover it. And again, extra points haunt the Silver Streaks, and that's so important with an 8-point lead.
It's a one-possession game.
Right, Morton can get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, but for now, the Silver Streaks lead a little more comfortable at 18-10, and it makes a winner of Bruce Fowler of Galesburg in the Lieber's Boxcar Express Touchdown Contest. Congratulations, Bruce. You win a $10 gift certificate from Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street. And Bruce, Patty Leeson, and Dawn Brown of Knoxville all entered in the season-ending contest for a party sub at the end of the year.
Well, the Silver Streaks, a great answer, quickly scoring and hopefully disheartening Morton a little bit. But, you know, when you miss the extra point in a situation like that, the momentum kind of shifts a little bit again. Oddly enough, the other team gets a little breather. They look up, see that it's just a one-possession game. And Galesburg has improved tremendously as a football team under Tim Doherty. But the one problem we've had ever since 95 when I started doing these games, we've been terrible on special teams and conversions. We have got to get a better and more consistent kicking game to be able to compete against good schools, because we just give away extra point opportunities night in and night out.
It's what cost Galesburg 2 years ago right here when they lost 13-12. And the high, deep kick. Good job. That was Sykes that time. Boomed one deep, and right to the hands of the intended returner, and that puts Morton at the 20-yard line. 10:26 to go in the game. The Streaks, great to score, but the downside, they take only 1:08 off the clock in two plays. But a 74-yard touchdown run by Trevon Diggins, his first of the season.
Tell you what, though, those two long touchdown runs really has to dispirit the Morton defense. I've got to think, you know, they come back out on the field when the time comes, and they're a little apprehensive of the Galesburg rushing attack. Let's hope our defense isn't apprehensive, because you know Air Rossi is coming here now.
And he's in the shotgun on the first snap of this series. To the far side of the field, perfectly thrown right into the hands of Wabel again, and he's been the intended target on the last three pass attempts, and he completes that one for the first down. Move it up to just across the 30-yard line, call it a gain of 12.
Well, that play's been open all night. Seems like we're willing to give them some of that yardage underneath just to make sure they don't go up top and get a long play on us.
Make it a gain of 11 instead. Wabel with three receptions, 42 yards. Back in the shotgun, two wideouts to the near side. Rossi dumps it off right up the middle. Little screen play, trying to get to the outside. Goes Ryan Wiegand, and he's up the far sideline. And it's Trevon Diggins who makes the initial hit, but not before Wiegand gets back into Galesburg territory, close to the 40.
And I believe that's the first time we've seen that play tonight. They let everybody come through, and then dumped it off short to Wiegand, the big strong kid, and he rumbles up the middle. And this game, which was a defensive struggle for the most part in the first half, now that the rain has, it's just basically a very light sprinkle now, the offenses are really kicking into high gear.
Gain of 29 as Rossi has picked up 169 yards through the air now, and he's in the shotgun again. Wings it across the middle, deflected by Matt Kitch, and falls incomplete.
That was close.
Yep,
he saw it, and then that thing was up in the air for a little bit as he touched it, and you're thinking, oh, please step underneath that. But a nice breakup of the pass by Kitch, and hopefully somebody will be able to sneak in there and pick one of those off here in the fourth quarter.
He was at full speed with a lot of green grass in front of him. If he had been able to just pick that one off cleanly, and he would have run for a while. Instead, it's second and 10 from the Galesburg 40, still in the shotgun. Rossi, 9:41, a long way to go in this game. Rolling near side, Rossi right across the middle. Wabel breaks free of a touchdown, of a tackle, and Kitch is able to wrap him up from behind, but Wabel gets down to the 10-yard line for a gain of 30.
Wabel gets up hobbling as he comes back to the huddle. Sure he'll stay out there or not. He's really hobbling. Yep, they're going to take him out of there.
199 yards passing now for David Rossi. And 132 of them have been here in the second half. First and goal for the Potters from the Silver Streaks 10-yard line. Galesburg leading by 8. 9:20 to go. Handoff this time up the middle. Running room for Jack Compton. Hit a couple of times and stopped short of the goal line.
Punch, counterpunch. These two teams going at it. We've got a lot of football yet to play, and the clock running at the 9-minute mark. Again, keep in mind, Morton, if they score, we'll have to get a two-point conversion to tie the game.
Which may be an advantage for the Silver Streaks because Kindred is so good kicking the ball. Handoff goes to the right side, trying to get down low, trying to barge across the goal line, and it looks like Castleman got it. And that pulls Morton within two with 8:47 to go in the fourth quarter. Right back comes the Morton Potters. Two straight scoring drives to keep them in this game. Down two now with a two-point conversion attempt coming.
Yeah, both teams making adjustments at halftime, much to the benefit of both of the offenses. Didn't see many stops here in the second half as the team's moving up and down the field. Let's see if we can't get this stop. What a huge stop this would be right now for the Silver Streaks. Hold on to the lead.
Rossi under center with a pro set backfield. Two split and a tailback. He'll fake the handoff. Now he ducks down low, still on his feet, still pushing forward to the goal line.
His lineman carried him in.
And he got it. Rossi was stopped back at the line of scrimmage, but somehow once he got inside that pile, he stayed on his feet. It kept moving forward, and we are tied with 8:47 to go in the game.
Yeah, heck of a job by Rossi. I thought we had him dead to rights, but Coach Doherty out there making the point, too, that it looked you're not supposed to, as an offensive lineman, be able to grab your ball carrier and throw him into the end zone. Well, that was certainly what happened in that case as the pile moved forward. But bottom line is, can't worry about official calls. You line it up, we got a tie ball game, and An opportunity still to win one here if you can take it back down and get yourself the lead.
Six plays, 80 yards for the Morton Potters. They take only a minute 39 off the clock. And just like that, the Silver Streaks could be back on offense here with 8:47 a game. Complete opposite of last week's game at DeKalb. Both teams score on their opening possession. We think, all right, we're in for a track meet here tonight. And then the defense takes over, and a couple more scores the rest of the night. It was a real defensive battle at the end. Here tonight, starts off with defense. Silver Streaks lead 6-3 at halftime. It stays that way through a good chunk of the third quarter, and now all of a sudden, the offenses have taken over.
Well, and we've got three touchdowns and three missed extra points. Well, there's your game right there. We're tied instead of being up like we should be because we can't execute extra points.
Kickoff into the end zone again. 8:47 to go. Silver Streaks have it at their own 20. So whatever momentum the Silver Streaks might have had by that long touchdown run from Trevon Diggins on the last series, Morton gets it right back, marching it down the field, 80 yards, most of it through the air, and doing it quickly themselves. So let's see if that picks up the defense's spirits or if the Silver Streaks can keep the ball moving offensively. Isaacson, a little bit miscommunication as it looked like he wanted a handoff to Mixon, but then Peyton had to tuck it in and tried to get behind Jonathan with the run, and he ends up losing a yard, maybe two.
Yeah, spacing was bad on that. I'm not sure whether that was a quarterback problem or a running back problem there, but they certainly weren't in sync. And by the time he finally got it to Mixon, like you said, there just wasn't much going to happen on that play. Actually lost a yard.
Second and 11 now from the 19-yard line. Still over 8 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter at Morton. Tied at 18 now. Handoff goes right. They give to Mixon. Gets across the 20, up to the 22, maybe the 23-yard line. So Jonathan picks up four, but the Streaks facing a 3rd-and-7 upcoming. Morton scored first tonight on their opening drive, a field goal that put the Silver Streaks behind for the first time all season, 3-0. But they have led ever since until Morton gets the touchdown and the two-point conversion that has now tied this game at 18 with 7:45 to go. 3rd-and-8 upcoming. Mixon over 300 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns here tonight. Galesburg, 3rd-and-7 from their own 22-yard line. They go to the near side, and Holloway tripped up in the backfield. Morton read it beautifully. He loses the 3 that Mixon got, plus another one, and it'll be 4th-and-12, and the Streaks are going to have to punt from inside their own 10.
Yeah, things certainly don't look good for the win over here right now. All the momentum with Morton, and you get the feeling that our defense, I'm not sure they feel like they can stop the Potters at this point. They've just shredded us here with that passing game, and sure love to see a turnover or a stop, but right now Morton's got everything going their way.
Holloway lost 4. Morton got exactly what it needed with 3 plays and out, under 7 minutes to go in the game. Standing back at the 5-yard line, Sykes gets the boot away, nice and high, spinning, gives it some extra distance, and a fair catch called and taken at the 39-yard line. Wabel wanted no part of that one,
yeah,
as he had to back up to get it. He had no idea it was going to go that deep, and he had really no ability to catch and plant and get upfield, so he just took the fair catch. A great job on the punt by Drake Sykes.
Yeah, it really was. He really, you know, they say, well, you outkick your coverage, and to some respect he did, but it worked out because, as you said, the guy catches the ball going backwards. When he caught it, we didn't have a player within 10 yards of him, but he was going backwards, and on a night like this, job one if you're on punt return is to make sure you don't make a mistake, and so that's what Wabel did right there.
And certainly with the way the offense has moved the ball, they've got to feel like they can take it 61 yards. They don't need the extra whatever they might get on the run back.
No.
Rossi comes under center now. In the shotgun most of the last series, conservative play on first down. Handoff goes to the right side as they give off to Ryan Wiegand. He gets across the 40 to the 41 for a pickup of 2.
Yeah, we hope we don't have a repeat of the last time we were here 2 years ago where we just got worn down at the end and Morton came away with the home victory, but right now they have the momentum. Streaks, though, with a good play on first down and limiting them to 3 yards. I've got to think we're going to see Morton put it in the air, though, again here now on 2nd-and-7.
And Rossi is in the shotgun. 2 wideouts to each side of the field. 2 right, 2 left. High snap. He curls it in. Now wings it away to the far side. Complete to Wabel again, right at midfield at the 50 for a first down. Gain of 8.
Well, and unfortunately, it's like we said, that play's been there all night, and I don't see any change in that. They can, at this point, as long as the throw is accurate and the guy catches the ball, it's a guaranteed 8 or 10 yards anytime they want it.
207 yards passing for the quarterback, David Rossi, tonight, and Brent Wabel has 80 yards on 5 receptions all in the second half. He has become the target. And the Silver Streaks have given up some yardage. And Morton has tied the game at 18. Now the handoff up the middle. And it goes to Wigan again. Covers up the ball into Galesburg territory. Close to the 46 for a gain of 4. We have 5:40 to go in the game.
That's not a lot of time considering, if they put together a drive here for another 20 yards and chew up some plays, they got a field goal kicker, could knock it through from anywhere.
Second and 7 from the Galesburg 47-yard line. Pass to the near side. A big hit. Right on Riley Donald, but after the completion, and he's got it down to the Galesburg 32-yard line. Gain of 15.
Yeah, Matt Kitch and Michael Moss over there together for the high-low tackle. As you said, a pretty solid shot, but he held on to the ball. Morton, which was mistake-prone last week against state-ranked U-High, ended up costing them that game. They've not made many mistakes here tonight. Silver Streaks would love to see a big blunder on the part of the Potters, but not happening yet.
Down to the Silver Streaks, 32 after a 15-yard gain out of the I formation. Hand off Rossi, up the middle. Streaks trying to strip it out of the hands of Drew Taphorn, but he curled it inside, tucked it in, held on to it. He's down at the 29, close to the 28-yard line for a pickup of 4 more. Second and 6 upcoming as we are under 5 minutes to play in the game. The only difference from the last time that the Streaks were over here, trailing 13-12, Morton just put it into the hands of the fullback and ran off the final 8-plus minutes of the game. Here they need to score, but they're probably already in field goal territory as the ball moves down to the 25-yard line with a handoff to Jack Compton, and it'll be 3rd and 5, call it 3rd and 4 upcoming.
Well, this is where you'd love to see him get a stop right here, at least force Morton to make a decision. Do they kick the field goal and take the lead? Or do they go for a risky fourth down play? Plus, that would give us some time left to score. If they get another first down, they can chew the clock down to where there's not much time left for us to get anything done. So this is a huge play right here on 3rd and 5.
Streaks 5 of 11 on third downs tonight. This is 3rd and 4 from the Silver Streaks 25, under 4 minutes to go. Right up the middle and then bouncing to the outside. Rossi with a keeper gets to the sideline, trying to stay in bounds, gets to the 10-yard line. Out of the shotgun, he took the snap and then just sprinted straight forward like the quarterback sneak almost as he tucks it under center. But this time he bounces to the outside. He picks up a huge 15-yard gain just outside the 10-yard line, a 1st and 10. So a big third down conversion down to the Galesburg 10. Rossi 7 carries for 31 yards tonight. 3.5 minutes to go in the game. Easily in field goal territory now. Rossi under center, split backfield, handoff up the middle, and then pushed up and backwards.
Back.
Yeah, Drew Taphorn went down with a knee at the 10-yard line, and then the Streaks continued to push, and he wasn't quite horizontal leading backwards, but it was a good 30-yard angle for sure the way that back went back.
Because Manny Valdez was underneath of him, and he got set up and was leaning back over Manny. If that's me, I'm having two knee surgeries in the morning, but he's 18 years old, so he just bounces back up.
He did go to the sideline, though.
I might even have back surgery, too. We'll just get the volume discount on that one.
Wigan and Castleman are in the backfield. They shift left now, directly behind Rossi. It goes to
a fumble
on the ground, and it looks like Compton recovered it. He's the one who dropped it, and he was able to somehow plant his foot and come back for it before two white jerseys for Galesburg got there.
Well, wouldn't that have been a golden egg to pick that thing up? But the clock keeps running now at 2:25 on a 3rd down and 9.
They lost 3 on the play, so it's actually going to be 3rd and 13.
Okay. So I've got to assume they got enough confidence in their passing game to go ahead and put it in the air here. If they don't complete it, they'll bring on their kicker and probably take a 3-point lead.
I don't know. Don't you keep it on the ground here, because with your kicker, you know you're going to get a field goal this deep. You want to take the risk throwing the ball here at this stage of the game?
Find them. I don't feel like it's a risk.
Rossi's going to roll out. He's going to throw it to the end zone, and the up man was overthrown, and the back man completely ran away. A missed route, as he could have been wide open in the end zone. So now they can go for the field goal with a minute 54 to go in the fourth quarter, tied at 18.
Well, at least we will have a little time. When you're based on a running game, you'd think, well, that's probably not enough to go, because we'll have to go 80 yards. Their kicker will kick it clear through the end zone. But our two scorers have come on long runs from Dixon or Mixon and Diggins in this half, so we'll see.
Kindred had a 38-yard field goal for the first score of the game. This will be just outside the 20 for a 31-yarder with a minute 51 to go. Streaks will put the rush on. Tied at 18. Under 2 minutes to go. The snap was to the right. The kick looks wide left. Oh, the official says he got it inside the upright. It looked from here like he hooked it to the left, but it does get inside the upright. The official came out nodding right away, and three missed extra points for the Silver Streaks on three touchdowns have them trailing now with a minute 50 to go in the game, 21-18.
Yep, by those 3 points, and, of course, Morton, virtue of a good field goal kicking game, and that's what it's all come down to. And it's not over yet. 1:50 to play.
A lot of time. All the timeouts remaining for the Silver Streaks.
The kicker makes so much difference, because many teams that we've played in the past, you might think, well, we can get it in the hands of Diggins on a kickoff return, maybe get some great field position. But with a guy like this, he's just going to knock the thing clear out of the end zone, and you're going to have to go 80 yards.
11 plays, 4 minutes, 57 seconds off the clock. Excuse me. They take it 48 yards downfield, and the 31-yard field goal by Connor Kindred puts Morton on top, 21-18. Exciting game. Maybe leading toward an exciting finish. Here comes the kickoff. They kip it low, and the Streaks are going to have a chance to take it on a bounce. Holloway at the 9, trying to lead upfield. Found an opening at the 30. Tripped, but stays on his feet at the 40. Finally knocked down in midfield. What a run by Ben Holloway.
You think they did that on purpose? Why would you not? Every kick they've had tonight has gone clear out of the end zone, yet they kicked that one low and returnable. And the Silver Streaks in business right at the 50-yard line with a minute 41 to go.
Took 9 seconds off the clock on that return. Tell me that doesn't juice up this offense with all three timeouts remaining. Will Anderson splits out wide to the right for the Silver Streaks. Everybody tucked in tight. They go with a quick snap. Isaacson handoff to Mixon. Up the middle. Secondary. Oh, free. He's going to go. Touchdown, Jonathan Mixon. One play, and the Streaks are back on top. Now back into the hands of the defense.
Well, you wanted to score, but not that soon. A minute 32 left for Rossi and company to come back, but wow, one handoff off the left tackle to Mixon, bounced off two guys, nobody could bring him down from behind, and the Morton sidelines have to just be shocked. Figure, how can we not stop a simple play like that? But Mixon and our offensive line have been so strong tonight that they just have no answer for that, and now the Streaks, I think, going to take a timeout here to talk this one over.
The return by Ben Holloway of 39 yards took 9 seconds off the clock. Jonathan Mixon's 50-yard touchdown run, his third of the night, took another 9 seconds off the clock, and now Galesburg leads 24-21 with 92 seconds to play. Jonathan Mixon with 22 carries, 254 yards tonight.
Wow.
Three touchdowns coming off a performance last Friday at DeKalb when he had three touchdowns at 293 yards.
Yeah, I told somebody, I said, well, there's no way Mixon gets 293 tonight, but he's come pretty close. And now that ball sitting out there all alone on the 3-yard line, we've got to find a way to get an extra point to make it so that Morton's field goal kicker can't tie it. So we'll see. It looks like we're going to go for the two, Brad.
Sure does.
We have more faith in that than we do in the chance to kick one through.
Rather than put it in the feet of Tanner Laird, or in the snapping and holding game
exactly.
On a wet night. They're going to go for two. Isaacson with a snap. Tosses to Mixon, trying to get to the outside. Skips a man. Looks like he lost the ball as he came down inside the 5. But either way, the run fails. So still a field goal possibility for Morton to tie the game if they can march it downfield in a minute 32 here at the end of the game.
Well, the rest of the season, I don't know that we'll have one any more exciting than this. I can't imagine. What a battle. The air game of Morton and the running game of Galesburg.
It has become a shootout here.
It really has. Neither defense able to get much of anything done. They're both worn down at this point by the offensive fireworks. And now we'll see if Galesburg can find some way to hold out and claw out a victory here on that Morton in the final meeting between these teams before the Streaks go to the expanded conference next year. Any chance we're going to see Morton again would be a playoff game in some future year.
Player down, I believe, is Jonathan Mixon, still down at the goal line for the Silver Streaks. Three of his teammates, including Derek Brackett there, looking as Denise Polworth, the athletic trainer for the Silver Streaks, is down on the field with him, checking out what the situation is. Meanwhile, the Silver Streaks have lined up for the kickoff. Morton waiting to receive. Again, a minute 32 to go in the game. Silver Streaks are going to kick off, leading 24-21. And it's in the hands of the Galesburg defense now.
He's up.
Mixon is up. And it's hobbling, like, favoring
like
his
cramp probably there too.
Hopefully, favoring his right leg. And everybody kind of walking away from him, so they're not going to help him off. Peyton Isaacson over there right away to hug him and pat him on the helmet. Denise Polworth is going to keep an eye on. Now it looks like she wants to stretch out that leg a little bit. All right, here we go. In the meantime, going to get things going. See what happens out here. Drake Sykes is going to line it up at the 40-yard line.
Well, again, Coach Jason Terry told us in the pregame that Mixon may be the best back they'll see all year, and I'm sure they're hoping that's the case because he's been a ton tonight. Morton hasn't had the answer. Streaks trying to get something done here in the last 132.
92 seconds to play. The kickoff down the middle of the field, taken on a line at the 9-yard line, and who else but Wavell returning it up the middle of the field. He runs into a wall short of the 30-yard line.
That wall, led by the guy who's had some big defensive plays tonight, Jacob Ryden on special teams, drilled him along with some company down there. And so Morton's going to have to go quite a ways, but they can score quickly with that passing game.
Took 5 seconds off the clock, a minute 27 to go in the game now. Remember, the Silver Streaks trying to go 2-0 in the football season for the first time since 1982. Kelly Kane was coaching the Silver Streaks as the head coach then. And, of course, an assistant in his second year for Coach Tim Doherty. Here we go. First and 10 from the 28 of the Morton Potters with Rossi in the shotgun. Back to pass, looking far sideline, now middle of the field. It's complete short of the 40-yard line into the hands of Riley Donald, trying to get outside, and he gets all the way to the outside and out of bounds at the 45-yard line.
Donald did everything he had to do. He caught the ball, number one. Number two, he gained some extra yardage, and he was able to outsprint the defense, get to the sideline, and get the clock stopped with 1:20 to go.
239 yards passing for the quarterback, David Rossi, tonight. And that was Donald's third reception for 45 yards. Into the shotgun again. Clock stops with a minute 20 to go. Streaks lead by three. Out of the gun, Rossi rolling far side, wings it to the sideline, right through the hands of Chase Taphorn, incomplete.
That one just a little high. A lot of times Taphorn probably pulls that ball in, but on a wet night when you've got to just rely strictly on your fingertips to get one like that, pretty tough catch. So second down and 10.
Second and 10 from the 45. Clock stopping only 4 seconds off the clock with a minute 16 to go. What a night. Silver Streaks falling behind with a minute 50 to go in the game. A Jonathan Mixon 50-yard touchdown run put him right back on top. Out of the shotgun, second and 10. Rossi swing pass to the near side. It is complete, and stepping out of bounds, Riley Donald again just across midfield at the Galesburg 48.
You know, keep in mind, but the Silver Streaks not getting any extra points there again. It's a three-point game, so Morton can be content just to move this thing into field goal position and tie the game and play for an overtime. I'm not sure they're ready to settle for that just yet, Brad, but they do have that luxury.
Fourth catch of the night for Riley Donald puts Morton into Galesburg territory at the 48-yard line. Big fourth and rather third and three coming up here. Minute 11 to go in the game. still in the shotgun. Rossi hands off, up the middle, and stopped initially, and then a second surge pushes Morton into first down territory on a good hard run by Ryan Wiegand down to the 44.
Yeah, a little surprising they go with the run there, but they wanted to make sure and not put themselves in a tough fourth down and three position. Got their first down, and now with a minute five to go, we'll go to the shotgun.
Morton 3 for 3 on third downs in the fourth quarter. Rolling out, sideline pass, overthrown just a little bit. And backpedaling, Wable couldn't quite get his footing enough to get the hands up there. He was wide open, but off his fingertips.
Yeah, you almost feel like it's 12 on 11. They've always got one guy that's open over there near the sidelines, but that time a drop. And Streaks trying to keep their finger in the dike here to prevent Morton from scoring again.
59 seconds to play. Second and 10 from the Galesburg 44. Rossi alone in the backfield in the shotgun. Man comes over to block. Good protection. Sideline pass right to the near side. Donald again with a reception and out of bounds at the Galesburg 35-yard line. Right at the first down stick. And is that going to be a first down or is it going to be just short?
Just a little short.
Like a yard short.
Looks like Matt Kitch over there on the defense again along with Ben Holloway. So it's another third down, but this one only third and one. I would guess, Brad, they'll probably go ahead and run it, make sure they get their first down here again.
At the Galesburg 35-yard line. Again, Morton 3 for 3 on third downs here in this crucial fourth quarter. Galesburg leading by 3. Rossi with a keeper trying to get to the left side, stumbles but gets the first down at the 30-yard line. He picked up 5, and they'll move the chains again.
And they are in field goal range right now at the 30.
It would be a 47-yarder.
Yeah, but this kid's got the leg, and obviously they're not going to be satisfied with that. They're going to want to get it a lot closer, if not into the end zone still, with 52 seconds left and a timeout on the field.
Take a timeout, a quick one as well. 24-21 Galesburg. Under a minute to play in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Breed Loves is the answer. If you were just asking yourself, so where would LeBron James and Lance Armstrong shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? Breed Loves Sporting Goods. And don't you want to shop where two of the world's greatest athletes would shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? For team uniforms, sports equipment, custom lettering, screen printing, tons of shoes, spirit wear, and letterman jackets for all area high schools, and the top brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, and Adidas. Specializing in custom lettering, signs, trophies, medals, plaques, and awards. And the top shopping spot of LeBron James and Lance Armstrong when they do finally visit downtown Kewaunee. Breed Loves Sporting Goods.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tomorrow afternoon as the Redbirds take on the Washington Nationals. Coverage begins at 2:30 on WGIL.
Tune in for Cardinal Baseball on WGIL.
First and 10 for Morton. Out of the shotgun, Rossi rolling left, has a man open on the sideline. It's Wable again. He steps out just inside the 20 at the 18-yard line for a pickup of 12.
Now, the way this looks right now, we'll be lucky if we can get it to overtime. We've got a cheer from the Galesburg sideline. What do we have, Brad?
We got a flag down. We're going to call it back. There's a flag down in the Morton backfield.
Wow.
A hold negates rather than at the 18-yard line for a first and 10. It's going to go back to the 44 or the 40. They're going to put it right at the 40.
Huge penalty. Again, as you said, that pass completion was going to take it down to the 18, and they were going to have a number of shots probably at the end zone.
And that takes them out of field goal range for the time being.
For the time being, the key word's there. Let's see what we can get done here now. It's still first, but first and 20.
First and 20 at the Galesburg 40, 48 seconds to go in the game. Good snap to Rossi. Swings it to the near side. Open is Donald again. He sprints to the 25-yard line and knocked out of bounds at the 24. So they get 16 of it back. With 43 seconds to go in the game and a late flag
from
the Galesburg sideline, and I think Tim Doherty just got whistled.
Wow, this will be 15 yards, too.
He certainly was extremely upset with the reaction. So was he reacting at what something one of his players did on the sideline, or was he upset and then the official blew the unsportsmanlike conduct on him? I'm not entirely sure. There were so many players huddled around down there, I couldn't see clearly what was going on.
A long discussion on the sidelines. And
sure saw the flag come flying out of there, though, didn't we?
They wait.
It was a sideline
warning. Oh, it's a sideline warning. They were crowded.
Okay. Well, we can live with that.
All right.
It's like getting pulled over by the trooper, not getting a ticket. You just go a little slower for a while.
Well, dodge a bullet there.
Yep. All right.
Second and 4, though. at the 24. Have to get across the 20-yard line for a first down here after a 16-yard pass play. 271 yards passing for Rossi now. And he's finding Riley Donald consistently. Now on the keeper, Rossi straight upfield, tucks in underneath, gets down low, close to the 20-yard line, but not enough for the first down. Clock stops with 38 seconds to go, and Morton calls timeout. So they want to keep it at the middle of the field, I guess, thinking field goal here, but they still have third down, just a little over a yard coming, just inside the 22.
I assume they still have a timeout left, Brad?
They do, one left after this one.
Preserve that for the kick, so if they need it. They really haven't thrown the ball down the field over the middle much.
No.
Because really you got to think if they want to get in the end zone, that may be the route they have to take, although we're still giving them everything on the sidelines. I would think they'd want to take, you know, two more of those sidelines and then maybe run something inside. But you take a risk when you run the ball with only one timeout left and you're trying to get a kicking team on the field, so... A lot of options for Morton, but if I'm them, I'm just going to keep doing what's got me there, and we're just leaving Donald all alone on the sideline. I've got to think they go ahead and take that 10 yards again.
What a game. It was 12-3 at the end of three quarters. Silver Streaks now lead 24-21, but it's third and two for Morton at the Galesburg 22 with 38 seconds to go. Handoff up the middle and stopped short of the 20 again.
Yeah,
they go to...
made it.
I guess Rossi kept it that time, and the clock is stopping with 34.6 seconds. Now they get it going, so the Streaks may have gained 5 seconds there at least. But instead, it goes to Morton's favor, fourth and one now at the 21. 24 seconds to go. Rossi's going to go for it. Across the middle, it's incomplete. Fourth down, incomplete. And the Streaks take over on downs. Jubilation on the field.
This is fantastic for Galesburg to be able to win this game. I don't have any idea what the Morton Potters are thinking of.
I don't either. I was thinking the same thing.
On fourth down, and why they don't kick the field goal and tie the game, I have no idea.
But it's going to go in Galesburg's favor. 2 years ago when we were over here, we questioned some of the coaching decisions that ultimately resulted in a one-point loss for Galesburg, 13-2. With 20.7 seconds to go, you got to believe Morton is certainly having those same kinds of discussions at the coaching decisions here at the end of this one.
This is so wonderful to get out of this one with a win. Wow.
All the Streaks have to do is make a clean snap. Peyton Isaacson will take a knee and now a flag down for a delay of game, I think.
Morton has one timeout left. Is that right?
I sure thought they did. So I guess they were trying to catch the Streaks off guard with a quick snap. But when you only need a yard.
Yeah, well, and even if they didn't have a timeout, they still had plenty of time to get their field goal unit on the field. I for the life of me, I don't know what that was, madness at the end of this game. And we're going to take it. Let them make the mistake.
Still have to convince myself that that's just what happened. Peyton Isaacson takes a knee, and the Streaks are 2-0. For the first time since 1982.
So the disappointment we left with here 2 years ago in a game that we felt like we could have won and let get away, we make the home Morton Potters walk off the field with that sinking feeling. And for Morton, now it's tough. They fall to 0-2 with a decent football team, and they've still got to look down the gauntlet at Metamora, Washington, Pekin, and the rest of the Middle Illini Conference, and they're going to have a real uphill fight to make it to the playoffs for a third consecutive year.
Two huge wins on the road to open the season for the Silver Streaks. Their home opener is 1 week from tonight. And if you don't believe, this team is for real. 24-21, the Streaks win by a on a night when they didn't convert a single extra point. But nevertheless.
And another thing that's great about this, you escape this game, and maybe somewhere down our schedule we'll see another guy that can throw the ball like this, but I don't want to. We dodged this bullet tonight against Rossi,
guess.
And And I think we've really established that we can play along the line of scrimmage with some good football teams, and hopefully won't have to see another passing game like this one that Morton put at us tonight.
The teams are done shaking hands and wishing each other good night game, and now the celebration begins in the end zone to our right. The postgame show is coming up. Galesburg is 2-0. Stay tuned for postgame stats and a word with the victorious head coach as the Streaks win at 24-21. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I discovered Handyman would give my buddy and me a ride out to Lake Story, so we've been loading up our fishing poles and tackle boxes a couple of times a week. It's so great to get out and do something.
Whether you're faced with a temporary or permanent disability, a doctor's appointment isn't the only reason to leave the house. Get out there, live your life. Call Handyman, we'll pick you up, as well as your personal assistant to help you manage your belongings. And we'll take you back home. Handyman, helping you live independently.
I've checked and rechecked, and it all comes down to the same conclusion.
Don't say it.
It's your turn to clean the coffee pot in the break room.
No!
It's Patsy from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Crady Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, a chance of showers this evening, definitely more likely after midnight tonight, overnight low of 72. Tomorrow, not as warm with showers and isolated thunderstorms, high of 78. Tomorrow night, showers with a low of 68. Sunday, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers, high of 82. And Sunday night, cloudy with a low of 68. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 75 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
What a night. What a game. Galesburg Silver Streaks 2-0 for the first time since 1982 after a 24-21 win at Morton on a night full of rain. Started raining a good 45 minutes before the kickoff. And it still hasn't stopped. In fact, it's picked up a little bit again. But nevertheless, just makes the victory that much more enjoyable for the Silver Streaks to go out and play in a tight, tight game. A game in which the Silver Streaks fell behind early. Morton scored on the opening possession. A 38-yard field goal by Connor Kindred gave Potters a 3-0 lead. Silver Streaks had probably their most damaging penalties of the night on their opening possession that forced them back deep, and they had to punt it away. Came up scoreless, but held Morton as the Potters came back, moved the ball to the Silver Streaks 39-yard line, and ended up turning it over on downs. Galesburg took over from its own 39-yard line just less a minute into the second quarter. Jonathan Mixon ran it three straight times, and then the big play of that drive was a 29-yard run by Trevon Diggins. It took the Silver Streaks down to the Morton 10-yard line. Two plays later, Mixon ran it in from 5 yards out. Silver Streaks' extra point attempt was wide left, but they led 6-3, and that's where we stood at halftime. Silver Streaks had the ball to start the second half, and it didn't take him long. Diggins opened with a 5-yard run that took him to the 25-yard line, and then Jonathan Mixon ran off a 75-yard touchdown run that put the Streaks up 12-3 after the two-point conversion attempt failed, and the Streaks were up 12-3. And again, that's where we stayed. It was 12-3 at the end of the third quarter. Morton took over from its own 35-yard line and then put together a scoring drive of, I never did write down how many plays, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, 13-play scoring drive that covered 65 yards in 4 minutes and 24 seconds. Compton finished it off with a 4-yard touchdown run. The point after pulled Morton within 2 at 12-10. And now joined by Coach Tim Doherty and Jim Lee, and we're going to find out what the head coach has to say about this one, if he can even catch his breath, because I think we're all still a little breathless after this one. Jim, take it away.
Okay, well, Coach, first of all, congratulations. First 2-0 start for a Silver Streaks team since 1982. And to say it didn't come easy is probably an understatement. What a great mix of our running game and their passing attack, and what a night, what a memorable night. How do you rate this one?
You just said it all. Credit to our kids for fighting for 48 minutes. And, you know, it's I guess, more incredible that it's been since 82. But hats off to our kids, and we made it a point of it, you know. If you want to do something special, it's born out of great moments and had a great opportunity to do that. So, you know, I thought our kids really played hard tonight.
So many twists and turns in a game like this going down the stretch. I guess we'll go to the end of the game. We were shocked that Morton didn't, on fourth down with the kicker they have, go ahead and kick the field goal. Were you as surprised as we were?
Well, you know, I've been in his spot. I'm not going to second guess a coach. It's easy to do it from the sideline or the booth, but, you know, he knows his team better than all of us. And, you know, he if he hits the kid in the chest, you know, he's a great coach, you know. So they've got a great ball club. I just feel fortunate we made that stop at the end. I told the defense we had to get one stop. Didn't want it to be the last play of the game, but nonetheless, that's what it took.
Our defense, really, first half was pretty dominant, gave up some yardage, but like you said, was on the field a long time. Third quarter, you turned that thing around. Everything was going our way, but then the fourth quarter, they really found that passing game, and they were tough to stop, weren't they?
Well, he's a good ball player. There's no question. He's got multiple receivers. He's a heady kid. I've seen a lot of high school quarterbacks, and he's pretty special. He's a 3-year starter, sees the whole field. He's poised, and you know, those guys are tough to defend.
Mm-hmm. From the Silver Streak standpoint, I'm sure our fans are going, why can't we get somebody out here in the flat on Donald? I mean, just getting 10 and 15 yards at a chunk. But I know you don't want people to get behind you either. I suppose your thinking is try and contain as much as anything else. Is that right?
We won the game. You know, it's easy to say, well, if we're covering the flats, they're gashing a soft tackle, you know. So it's easy to say. But, you know, I think our kids adjusted. They came out with a whole different defensive package than what we prepped for and what they played. And they decided to shorten the game and come right at us and credit our kids, because we got a couple of those linemen and they're going both ways, and they stood up toe-to-toe.
When we got our final kickoff, received it, we're standing here saying, well, we're going to have to take it at the 20 because he's going to kick it clear out of the end zone. They chose not to, or he didn't hit it just right. And what a great job to get it up to the 50 before the big run.
I think they were just trying to run some time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, credit Ben Holloway. We had a broken play on first and 10. He just missed the handoff. He was early. And then, a sophomore, he comes back around on the kickoff return and gets us past midfield. I mean, what a heady, poised play.
Did you have any idea that Mixon, or maybe nothing surprises you anymore, could take it 50 yards on the first play?
No. I mean, I was confident. I'm sure, again, it's kind of like the other coach. If we stop him for one gain, everybody's yelling. So, you know, you know your team best, and you go with the hand you think you got to call. And obviously John came through on that. And, credit to the kids. And you know, they didn't flinch. It was, you know, the game's in the balance, and we're running off tackle, and he busted for 6. So,
you've had a Hall of Fame coaching career, probably been involved in some crazy games like this. But I've got to think, given what you've been doing and trying to get this program picked, this has got to be a very special night for you.
You know, it is. That's why you coach. And to see the kids' excitement for all the work that they put in. Nobody realizes how much work you put into 9 48-minute games. And to see the kids win and do what they just did tonight on the road for second week is really special. And I'm going to enjoy that.
Yeah, and you've talked about how important it is to get stronger, and we can certainly see up on the line of scrimmage how much improved we are over recent years.
Well, I mean, they wore us down last year, and that was their game plan tonight, and our kids bellied up and came through. Yeah.
All right. Congratulations, Coach. Great job. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you.
That is Tim Doherty, head coach of the Silver Streaks, as we continue our postgame here from Morton on Galesburg Radio 14. We'll take a timeout and be back with more from Morton after this on WGIA.
If you've had an accident of any kind, no matter how small, your injury could very well need the attention of a doctor of chiropractic. Dr. Jeffrey Hayden at Hayden Chiropractic would like to remind you that auto accidents, workers' compensation, and most insurance companies recognize and cover chiropractic care. The pain may seem small and insignificant now, but the big pain will occur months down the road when you find out too late that injuries were sustained that didn't appear immediately, and you're left with serious damage and all of the bills to pay. Make an appointment with Dr. Jeffrey Hayden for a spinal screening. As a doctor of chiropractic, he is expertly skilled in the care of the spine and nerves, which are most often affected in cases of accidental injury. This accident screening will tell you the facts before it's too late to get insurance coverage. If you suffered hidden injury, he'll find out for sure. Call today for your appointment at Hayden Chiropractic, 344-4988. Hayden Chiropractic, it's well worth the trip for your peace of mind.
Due to federal regulations, this offer does not apply to Medicare, Medicaid, or federal insurance programs.
Prepare to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off by listening to Clark Howard. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
A zany, wild finish, but a Silver Streaks victory is what it comes down to. We were kind of telling you about how the game turned out like it did. Morton got that touchdown and the extra point just 24 seconds into the fourth quarter, but the Silver Streaks came right back. Ben Holloway ran at 9 yards. The Silver Streaks got called for a motion penalty that actually negated what would have been a fumble recovery of their own with Peyton Isaacson mishandling the snap. And it ended up working to the Silver Streaks' advantage because they were going to lose the yardage either way, but they kept the down. And then Trevon Diggins made it all a moot point anyway, ran at 76 yards on the very next play for his first touchdown run of the season. The kick was blocked. Silver Streaks still led 18-10 at that point. But then, darn it, Morton doesn't come right back, taking it over from their own 20 line after the kickoff. Rossi completes an 11-yard pass to Wable, 29 to Wiegand. One incompletion, then it's a 30-yard pass to Wable again. Compton ran at 8, and then Castleman finished off the final 2 yards. They moved 80 yards in a minute 39, and it was right back to the Silver Streaks, now tied at 18 with Rossi running in the two-point conversion to tie it up. Then, talking about a momentum shift, Silver Streaks with 8:47 to go in the fourth quarter, three plays and out. You know, that's kind of one of those lost drives in all of this. And you remember the sinking feeling, Jim, at that point. Holy cow, three plays, you can't even get a first down. Morton gets it back with 6:47 to go in the game. They take 4 minutes, 57 seconds off the clock on an 11-play drive that covers 48 yards, ends up with a 31-yard Connor Kindred field goal. They go up 21-18. And then that big kickoff return by Ben Holloway, 31 yards to the 50-yard line at midfield, and then Jonathan Mixon, 50-yard touchdown run. The Streaks go one play, 18 seconds, minute 32. They give it back to Morton. The Potters move it downfield from their own 28. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 plays. Don't forget the holding penalty in there.
I was going to say, that was huge.
That was big. And Morton gets it down to the Galesburg 21-yard line, but an incompletion on fourth down ends the game for all intents and purposes. The Silver Streaks take over on downs. And, wow, just a breathless fourth quarter, but one you can be happy about being breathless the way this one turns out.
Boy, you just look back, and there are so many crucial points. You know, you mentioned that penalty because if that doesn't happen, they're on our 18-yard line with still over a minute to play. And, I mean, at that point, you're just praying all they do is tie.
Yeah, because it negated a pass completion that took them from the 30 to the 18,
right? And so it set them back, and back they came. And, boy, you know, again, just I'm sure Coach Jason Theory is going to have to answer a lot of questions as why they didn't send the field goal unit out there. It certainly wasn't a case of not enough time to get the job done and not enough confidence. I mean, the guy's terrific, but – you know, they may have thought they saw something catch us by surprise, and rather than settling for a tie and going to overtime, you know, the thinking is maybe they can, you know, pick one over the middle and get a touchdown. They would have
said,
you know, it's not the, well, they say you play for a tie and overtime and a win at home. Maybe that was the thinking, but I'm not sure they really would have been that confident going to an overtime because they'd had Jonathan Mixon right, left, and up the middle. And, of course, you know, they'd have gone, been the same thing. Even if it's just trying to get 10 yards
right
in an overtime, I think you're looking at the exact same scenario, our run against their pass, and at some point.
We may never have left here.
Might have been 85 to 84.
Right, no doubt. Well, let's take a look at the final stats. I never did add up all of the team totals, but here's what we can tell you for the individual numbers. Rossi had 10 carries for 39 yards tonight. Drew Taphorn, 12 carries for 46. He was the leading rusher for Morton. Jack Compton finished with 10 carries for 30 yards and a touchdown. Ryan Wiegand, 4 carries for 8 yards. Castleman had 2 carries for 3 yards and a touchdown. And Brett Miller carried it 3 times for 12 yards. Looks like 50, 45, 53, 99. They finished with 138 yards rushing. But their key offense was through the air. David Rossi finishes with 271 yards passing tonight. His leading receiver, Brett Wable, 5 catches for 80 yards. Riley Donald, 6 catches for 78 yards. Brett Miller had a 24-yard reception. Chase Taphorn caught one for 13. Drew Taphorn, an 11-yard catch. And Ryan Wiegand caught 3 for 17 yards. For the Silver Streaks, 1 incomplete pass tonight compared to 23, 26, 32 pass attempts for David Rossi tonight. 1 pass attempt for the Silver Streaks. It was incomplete. But then there's this kid named Jonathan Mixon. 22 carries for 254 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, there's this other young man named Trevon Diggins. 5 carries for 116 yards, including a 76-yard touchdown run. And that was the Silver Streaks touchdown scoring.
You know, it's interesting. I'm trying to think, one of those state championship playoff games last year, I remember that it ended up, the score was in the 50s or 40s, and it was the same thing. One team threw all the time. Other team couldn't stop them. The other team ran right through them. It was just unbelievable. And I mean, this wasn't quite to that level, but it was the same scenario.
Yeah, we could see where had we gone into an overtime, it might have been five or six of them by the time we finally ended it tonight. Yeah.
And even I know that, you know, Coach Doherty, I thought, would, you know, did a great job, and he said, well, I'm not going to second guess the other coach. But you could tell he was shocked as we were that they didn't try that at the end. But
definitely shaking his head, too, as we talked about it.
There were so many other things that went into this, especially second half of football tonight.
Especially the fourth quarter. I mean, for heaven's sake, we went in 12-3 at the end of the third quarter. And Morton outscores Galesburg 18-12. We had 30 points in the fourth quarter out of the 45 that were scored here tonight.
Well, I think I know one thing that's going to be addressed in practice this week, and I pray it's addressed, is getting some extra points. We scored 4 touchdowns, didn't get a single point tacked onto it. And I know it's wet and yada, 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 but you work too hard. That's the
Absolutely,
thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's not a criticism so much, but I mean, you
a
work
frustration.
Too, yeah, you work too hard to earn the right to get touchdowns and then not capitalize on the opportunities you've given yourself.
And so many people might think, oh, you missed an extra point. Well, you know, what's 1 point going to make a difference?
And
in
once
the game?
In a while, that happens.
And 2 years ago, that 1 point made a huge difference when the Streaks couldn't convert extra points that night. And here we have the 3 of them add up, eventually 4 of them add up, and thankfully it didn't come back to haunt the Silver Streaks tonight. They win at 24-21, 2-0 for the first time in 30 years, and we'll wrap up the postgame show with final thoughts coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
That's someone enjoying a wonderful meal at McDonald's. That's someone enjoying a refreshing Coca-Cola for only a dollar. And that's the harmonious flavor of McDonald's and any size icy cold Coca-Cola or soft drink for just a dollar. It's hard to describe it any other way. The simple joy of... A la carte only. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Final order of business for Morton, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. Jim Lee and I are just hashing this over, negotiating as we sometimes have to do on a rainy night when Hurricane Isaac came into town. Or what's left of Hurricane Isaac, I guess.
Not much right now.
No, still coming down steady, but we got to figure out what other aspects of this storm that blew into Morton tonight and overtook the Potters. We go with the Crunch Time player of the game.
Well, there are a lot of candidates tonight.
Yes, there really are.
We called so many names, especially on defense. Jacob Bryden and Matt Kitch come to mind. They were in on so many plays, and really the whole defense at times. Offensive line has to be doing a great job for our backs to be doing what they're doing. Ben Holloway with the kickoff return that got us out to the 50 with under 2 minutes to go. But it would be pretty hard to walk out of here and not give the Crunch Time player of the game for the second straight week to the guy that took it to the house from 50 yards out in the closing minute. Jonathan Mixon with 200 and how many yards?
254.
254 to go.
And a game-winning touchdown.
293 last week. And what a terrific weapon he has become here through the first 2 weeks of the season.
So we try to spread it around as much as we can, but the way this game goes, how can you deny a kid a 50-yard touchdown that wins the game? I mean, that is the definition of a Crunch Time player of the game. So for the second week in a row, it's Jonathan Mixon, and folks, you got to get out and watch this team play next week. Peoria Central's going to be in town. It's going to be a tough opponent, but it's the home opener for the Silver Streaks, and then they go on the road again the week after that. So you don't want to miss this.
Yep, definitely.
This could be shaping up to be the year that the Streaks have been looking for quite some time.
And in a really surprising way.
Yes.
A lot of us expected some improvement this year, but to start the season 2-0 against DeKalb and Morton.
On the road.
On the road. That's well above and beyond, I think, anybody's expectations outside of maybe Coach Doherty. And I'm not sure he isn't even a little surprised.
Well, we'll see you next Friday night, Jim.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Yep, very much.
Have the broadcast at 7:06 is the plan from Van Dyke Field. And hope to see lots and lots of folks out there because you will enjoy watching this team if they continue to play like they have these first 2 weeks. So thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios. For Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Again, the Streaks win it tonight, 24-21. They are 2-0 for the first time since 1982. Good night from Morton.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.